This is Right Side Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes. He is on board today.
I was excited. You weren't catching me this time.
Nope, you had a big smile on your face.
Although you scared me because I couldn't hear the intro music, so when you started talking, I wasn't ready for that.
Oh, sure, you're going to bring that up again. I can't hear the intro music, thanks. I'm getting the sweats over here because my stuff's not working perfectly.
I know. That's why I brought it up.
Thanks. We only talked about it 30 seconds ago. Yeah. Hopefully everything's recording okay, but... Hey, we'll see you afterwards. Wouldn't be the first time.
I guess we'll find out.
As Steve knows very well. Big week we have this week. We've got some 4K information for Tuesday. Huge 4K information for Tuesday. This movie that we're doing today, 12 strong. I keep wanting to say 18 strong, but it was only 12. 12 guys.
It's only 12 strong. Yeah.
It was only 12 strong. Is even more impressive. 12 strong. I can't wait to get into that. Lots to unpack with that, both with the movie itself and the home theater experience. What else do we have? You've got quite a bit of home theater experiences this week. I was watching your notes grow this week. I'm like, holy crap.
Busy week.
Did you leave the house?
Well, actually, I didn't have a busy week, and that's why I had a lot of... Well, the thing is, like, as you know, it's summertime, so there's no programming like that I'm watching. There's no network programming on, so everything I watch is just something I'm consuming, and it's usually a movie or, you know, something on Netflix. So, you know, once September comes, it'll shrink down because I'll be watching, you know, all my garbage that I watch on TV. You know?
Yeah, that's true, too, yeah. And mine will actually... go up because I'll be able to be home a little bit more as it's colder in the morning,
right?
And I'll be able to watch some more stuff. I was able to. I broke down a few things this week. I did some deep dives. We'll get into that. Did a deep dive on one that you'd done. You weren't too crazy about, but you texted me today, and we're like,
"Yeah,
you had." We won't say what it is, but you had a different impression than me. I go, "I don't think so." Just like. You're just reading into my notes.
And I love how in your text you mentioned Blade 3, like that's the high water mark.
That's my point. But that's my point, right? So we'll get it. We're going to get into that for sure. Let's see. What else do we have? We have a bunch of listener. I'm spreading out the listener comments because we're getting so many. So we have listener experiences. We have Patreon people. We have. What else do we have? we have people with scenes. So when we get to our experiences for the week, we have comments on that too. So lots of stuff going on. First though, I'm dying to talk to you about this. I met Ara the other day. I met him last Thursday, tweeted out a picture of Ara and I standing in front of the Black Rose. You remember the Black Rose in Boston?
No.
The little pub?
I don't.
Yeah, we're like, where do you want to meet? And he said, I think it was one of his daughter's friends recommended it or something. Jen and I laughed because Jen went there in college. We all went there in college. When you went into town, Faneuil Hall, you were like, oh, okay, we'll go to the Black Rose. That was a big thing. So they wanted to meet there. And it was surreal, but it was just because, like, I'd listened to Ara for years before I even had a podcast, and then to, like, invite him on the show, and then you're meeting him. But what was funny is it was the six of us. It was Ara, his wife, his two daughters, and Jen and I. And Ara ended up sitting next to me, and Jen's on the other side. So during the entire conversation, Ara's sitting directly on my left, and I'm, like, not really looking at him. I'm looking at his wife and his daughters, and I'm like, but hearing him over here it was just weird, right? Because I'm always hearing him in two ears through earphones.
Yeah.
I'm like, can you sit in front of me and get this in stereo?
Right. I need stereo.
Yeah. But what? And they now, Jen and I laughed on the way home because they have, and we've been laughing ever since, they have an absolutely, or has an absolutely amazing family. His wife, yeah. His daughters, his one of his daughters is 25 and the other one's, I think, 30. And they both graduated. And listen to this, John, you'll love this because you and I, we're a lot alike. So
yeah.
Sitting at this table and everybody starts saying, oh, what do you do? What do you do? Right. And so one of his daughters is Ara is a computer science engineer. Brainiac. Won an Academy Award working for Sony, you know what?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, exactly. So very successful, very smart guy. His wife, biomedical engineer.
Right.
Each of his daughters are one of those. So they have one of each, right? So I'm like, what do you know? Oh, biomedical engineer. Oh, computer science engineer. They asked Jen, what do you do? Well, I was a teacher for 20, English teacher for 20 years. And I went back up my master's and now I'm a counselor and blah, blah, blah. And then Ara's wife looks at me and goes, and what do you do? And I was like, I paint bumpers.
I saw where that was going.
I'm like, I'll see myself out. I'm sitting in the middle. I had nowhere to go. Yeah. I was like, right. Are you kidding me? I'm surrounded
I'm like, I sell comics.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. So I've been laughing ever since because I'm just like, there's just so many, like, I'm just surrounded by like smart, very smart, intelligent people. And I'm like, I make cars look pretty. Sorry. And they're like, and they were like, oh, that's nice. I'm like, yeah.
Dude, that's what you say when you don't have anything else to say.
See, Jen and I were laughing on the ride
isn't
home.
Isn't that precious? It's like my grandmother.
Oh. So, but yeah, just hanging out with them. The waitress kept coming back afterwards like, do you guys need anything? No, we're good. No, we ate. Yeah. We each had like one drink, but we just sat there for like a couple hours. And it was awesome. Absolutely awesome. Great meeting their family. And like, that's the other thing. We can't wait to go out there. And now it, like, oh, you got to come out to California. And I'm like, oh, you got to come out to Douglas.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have a chance. When they go on vacation, they work hard. They landed and drove to Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because they wanted to go to Hershey. Well, that's what you say when you go to Boston on vacation. Let's go to Hershey.
Right.
So they did that. Then they came back. They wanted to hit Cape Cod. So they did that one day from Boston, which isn't exactly a short drive. So yeah, they were very busy, but, maybe next time, I don't know if they'll come back here and next time, but, maybe next time I can have them up to the house.
I can relate.
I know.
I was worn out after my vacation.
Up here. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, to Italy.
Oh, to Italy. Yeah. Yeah.
And Mexico City.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah, you want to...
Those places, see, you work hard, man.
I know. And that's why I walk and do all that all day long. That's why when I go on vacation, Jen's like, where do you want to go? I go, I don't know, put me in a beach chair somewhere. That's all I want to do. I don't want to walk around. That's all I do. So, but yeah, absolutely an amazing time, an amazing experience, I should say, meeting them. So, yeah, lots of fun. Lots of fun. All right. You do anything interesting this week aside from sit on the couch and watch all of these
shows?
Yeah,
no, I watched a lot of stuff. That's about it.
And went to the movies.
And went to the movies. We'll went to the movie Sunday. Yep.
Awesome. Awesome. I can't wait to hear about that. I got some your opinions are going to hinge on what happens. So.
Oh, okay.
I'm waiting with bated breath on what you think.
All right.
So we'll get to that too. But all right, let's get to business for the week. Business. Yeah. So as always, you can, if you're not already enjoying what you're seeing here on YouTube, if you're enjoying it, please hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, mash that. What do they say? Mash that. What are the kids
saying
these
days?
Mash
that like button. Yeah.
Mash that like button. Yeah. We're getting there, John. Last time I checked, we were at 699. We might have surpassed 700 last time. Last time I checked.
Close. So
we really are climbing every day on YouTube. We're getting there. Yeah. It's getting closer, and we're doing pretty well on Twitter too, @BrightsideHT. We're at like 7 and change 760 something on that. So, really happy. Everybody's following along. Great conversations. If you want to be a part of it, of course, at Brightside HT, and lots of good conversations on YouTube as well. We get a bunch of comments from there and there. I don't know why, John, but for some reason, maybe because we're called the Bright Side, I get very minimal negative comments. Right. I've kind of weeded them out. They kind of just have gone away.
So. Except for that one guy that comments on every video.
No, he hasn't in a while.
He's gone too.
Yeah, right? He's gone. I don't know if he's still thumbs down in it, but yeah, he's gone. He used to say stuff every week about, really it was just about how great his gear was compared to everything else. And you know, right. We're watching everything wrong, but no, it's pretty good. Now I probably just attract. Oh yeah, you want something?
Yeah, here I go.
Here we go.
I was gonna let these guys off the hook, but
yeah.
Now
I just reeled them back in.
Yeah,
comments are comments, my friends.
Well, thanks for letting me know how bad my experience is. You know, I couldn't figure that out for myself.
Yeah, exactly.
I couldn't judge it on my own. So thanks for letting me know.
Yeah. You can email us at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. And that's the best way to get on the show for Takeover Tuesday, unless you want to DM me on Twitter. But you can actually, you know, email me. And as I said in Tuesday's podcast, if I don't reply to you in an email, hit me up again. Hit us up again, because sometimes things get lost. Sometimes I just lose track of what email went where. And I try to reply to everybody, at least, you know, a quick reply. I'll talk about it on the show or something, but I try not to let them go unheard of or something. What, I don't know how to put that, but all of this can be found. All the links can be found at brightsidehometheater.com on the website. And you can go to the website, hit the donate button, and it'll take you right to the site, your favorite site, John. What's the site?
Patreon, patreon.com.
/Brightside HT.
Brightside
Home Theater. Yep. And there you can donate as little as a dollar. As little as a dollar and as much as you want. And we would greatly appreciate that, because as we've been talking about, we are donating 50% of everything that comes in to a charity. This month's charity is Safe Coalition out of Norfolk, Massachusetts. That does the whole, you know, it's addictions support. So it's not a rehab facility, but it actually helps the people that are dealing with somebody with an addiction. So in a wide range of services that they provide. And again, those links are in the show notes. And that's SVS. Still talking with them, working out the details on that, but they're stepping up big time. They're going to be matching everything. SVS is also going to, I think next month we're going to do an charity that SVS is interested in. They asked, awesome. And I was like, I was going to put it off a couple months. I'm like, no, you guys are stepping up big time. So let's do yours next. But if anybody has any charities that mean a lot to them, let me know, and you could be for the following month. So this month of August is for the Safe Coalition out of Norfolk, Massachusetts. And next month, we'll announce that at the beginning of the month. Really excited about that. And John, you want to announce, we got some Patreon stuff going on here.
Yeah, we do.
Some people upped their donations. We have... what do you got? We got Graham Cole.
Graham Cole, who doubled his monthly contribution.
Doubled his monthly contribution. Hang on a sec. And I DM'd him on Twitter, and I said, you know, I thanked him. I was like, that's crazy. And he's like, Friday's podcast moved me. This community you gathered is so fun. So thank you very much, Graham. It's awesome. Absolutely awesome.
Yeah. Awesome.
And then
we also had John... Zabriskie, I hope
John
Zabriskie, right.
Johnny Speakers.
Okay, who also doubled his monthly contribution this month. So
yeah,
thanks to John and Graham.
Yeah, thank you very very much. Really appreciate that. Also got a note from Nathan on Patreon. He DM'd me. Nathan G says, "Congrats, DJ, on the whole donation and company matching news. You're a great guy. You are always willing to help others. You are always upbeat and happy, and I love that. I started donating to your Patreon because of that and who you are as a person. Keep up the great work. Happy Friday. So thank you, Nathan. Yeah, I really appreciate that. Johnny Speakers, Graham, and that was it. So that's for Patreon. So thank you to everybody. Really appreciate that. $1 a month. And then it'll go to a charity. So thank you, everybody. We'll talk about that at the end of the show as well. All right. John, do you have any tweaks this week?
No.
I do.
No tweaks this week. Again?
Yeah. So, and it's, I don't know if I should do it here, but it actually affected, I'll save my review for Elvis. I have to.
I saw what you wrote there.
Yeah. So what happened? Remember last week I said Elvis, it didn't sound good to me. It didn't sound the way I wanted it to sound. Right. And that was bugging me. And then, so what I ended up doing, and this is why I recommend it's so important to use the same content. And like, we've been using Star Wars for 40 years. Right. And I mean, you know it inside and out, right? What ended up happening is like after the show last week, I was like, this just isn't right. So I started going through and I'm like, I listened to Star Wars. That didn't sound right. And then I listened to Terminator, and that didn't sound right. Then I put on Avengers, and I started going through. And then I put Dune on, and I put some stuff on that I was like, that I knew like the back of my hand. And yeah, I know Dune pretty much like the back, some of those sub scenes and everything. And then I was going through, and I'm like, this, something's wrong here. So I start going through the settings on the Marantz, and I was like, are you kidding me? So in my haste, on Tuesday morning, because I was so excited to see Elvis because it had just dropped that day and I was in a hurry. I don't know how it happened, but of all things, and we've been talking about it lately, dynamic volume was put on.
Right.
On my receiver. I'm like, what the? And I wouldn't even have known how to go and put that thing on. I don't put it on. And it's, so you go in and on the Marantz, it's, you have to put it on, and then there's another setting under it for high, or, you know, minor, whatever, high, medium, low, or whatever. Right. And then there's an auto button. There's an auto choice. I don't know what the hell that does, but that's what mine was set to. Dynamic.
Might be a default.
I don't think so, because it didn't sound like this before Elvis.
That's true, because you watched Star Wars when you first.
Yeah.
Set up the separates.
Yeah.
And you said that it was awesome.
And it's awesome. It was awesome. And that's how I knew. I'm like, Elvis didn't feel right. It literally didn't feel right. So I changed it. I put it back, and then I put Star Wars on, Terminator. I did all of these, and I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And then I went back to Elvis. And we'll get to that. We'll talk about that at the end. But but yeah, that's that dynamic volume.
I turned it back off. Like I told you, I was messing around with it last week. I turned it back off. Although I didn't notice a huge difference with it on or off, but maybe I just wasn't, you know, the things I was watching.
If you're not,
maybe they weren't.
Yeah. If you're not turning it up like all the way.
Yeah. And I wasn't all the way at reference level on most of the things that I was watching. So.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, most of my tweaks are things I screwed up and I go back and fix them.
Well, that's kind of what this was. I didn't screw it up, but I don't know if it was my son playing video games the night before, if he hit something and I was just so excited. Right. I turned it on and I was just like ready to rock, literally. And nothing. I mean, it still sounded great, but it didn't have that oomph. It didn't have the, like I said, it literally compressed the. You know what it sounded like? It sounded like streaming. Now that I think of it, it really did. And I'm wondering if I know a lot of people, I've had a lot of people say that they don't hear the difference between physical media and streaming. And I'm wondering if there's a lot of people that have this on and that would eliminate the difference because it would actually do to physical media what streaming is. And then it would be upping some of the quieter sounds on streaming. So you'd be like, ooh, this is kind of nice because everything's loud. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to have quieter times and then really loud, you know, you get those booms. Right. And I was really disappointed, but glad I found it. And I literally went to bed Tuesday night after we recorded going, doesn't feel right. Didn't seem right. I had a thing. I'm like thinking it through. I was like, that doesn't, right. I don't know why they would do, cause the HDR on that is amazing. It's like right. I said, Vegas looks good, but we'll
why would
that.
They skimp on? Yeah. Why would yeah. they skimp on the sound?
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. I'm sure I'll talk a little more about that when we get to Elvis a little later. And I'll talk about those couple of scenes. All right, you ready to get to some listener experiences we've got going on here?
Sure.
I'll read these. All right. Prey is currently the highest rated film in the Predator franchise on Rotten Tomatoes, boasting a 92% fresh rating, followed by the original Predator, which is rated 80% fresh. So, this is in listener experiences because, John, we never talked about this last week.
So I figured and I responded. My response is the same.
What's that?
Like, I can literally only talk about two of the movies. Predator.
Yeah, and Predator? Okay, so which one do you like
don't
better?
Really recall most of the other ones. Yeah. I know I've seen them at least once, but it's been a long time. So I can, so Predator I watched a lot. Of course, I watched it on VHS. On mono speakers, but I kind of go back to like what Steve was saying about it last week. You know, Predator is just iconic. So it's like we say with New Hope, even though there might be better movies, it's always New Hope is always going to be the number one.
Yeah.
And so I think Predator, even though Prey might be the better movie experience
Isn't
overall.
That funny?
I think Predator would be my number one, and then Prey would be number two. And like I said, I can't really intelligently talk about the rest of them because I don't remember them. So.
Well, I like the Alien Predator movies. Requiem probably is the lowest for me.
Right.
But I would say it would go... I'm having a hard time choosing between Predator and Prey just because... I'm trying to wrap my mind around the idea that everybody I've talked to has said, well, even though Prey is the better movie, right? And maybe that's kind of what we also say about Empire and Star Wars.
Right. Empire's the better movie overall, but
I could get, all right.
If I have to choose, because again, you don't get to Empire without New Hope,
But you can't say that about Prey. Because you could actually, Prey could have been the original, and it's still a great movie.
You're right, it could have. But if it wasn't for New Hope, like, turning that switch or flipping that switch, and, Predator didn't have the same impact on me that Star Wars did, but still, it was like a movie from our teen years, and it was pretty iconic. You know, we watched it a lot, and, it was a big movie back in the day. So,
yeah.
I think... Yeah, I mean, you're right. You could get to Prey without Predator, but
we actually I don't know that 300 years before it,
right? But I don't know that it would have actually happened as a project if Predator didn't already exist.
Right.
You know, so
and that's what I think. One of the things that I really like about Prey is that it's such a creative way to do a sequel,
right?
To this movie, to the franchise, right? Like we've already done all the other things. We've been to their planet. We've had them we've had the Predators battle other aliens. What else was there left to do?
Well, actually, I'm very into what this opens up because I'm sure you've seen the different memes, floating around. Well, like, let's drop the Predator into feudal Japan and let him fight the samurai and all that stuff. And like, I'm all about that. Like, I want to see a Predator dropped into like every time period, even like, let him face off against like, Leonidas or something, right. You know, the 300. Oh, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of things you could do.
It'd be so cool to have the Predator drop in and then a DeLorean fly by in the background.
Exactly. You know,
but there goes Marty.
But again, if you've opened up the idea, which Predator 2 did, that they've been hunting here for generations, centuries, right?
Yeah, centuries. Yeah, yeah.
Even prey that we saw isn't necessarily the first time they were here. So maybe we go back even further, you know. Maybe we got cavemen fighting them with sticks, you know. Yeah. I mean, who knows?
Well, throwing fire
at them, you know. Look what I got.
What if they kind of showed up and they were like, nah, nothing here, and they left?
Right.
You know, like, yeah. You know, 10,000 years ago, I'd be like, this isn't even a challenge. These poor guys are excited with fire. Like, you okay? What do you got going on?
Yeah, I just got a text from work, so.
Oh, okay.
I'm listening.
But all right.
It only affects the people watching us.
Yeah, exactly. One of the things I love about the movie, though, and I think Prey really amplified over Predator. Predator was so testosterone. It was so larger than life. And you lost the focus a little bit of the fact of the morals of the Predator.
Right.
Right. Like, he's not out just to kill. He's there. Right. Like, he's willing to die. He'd rather die. It's a game to him, and he'd rather die than just kill something because he could. Right. He's looking for the challenge.
Which, right. He's not interested in the defenseless prey.
Exactly.
You know, like they showed in the movie, you know, when they're tied up and they're kind of helpless, he's not interested. He just passes them by. Whereas something like, Jason or Freddy Krueger or whatever, like, they're just going to come and slaughter you, right? Because they're just all about the carnage,
right?
You know, but the Predator is not that. It's not about that.
Right.
It's the challenge and the hunt that it wants. So.
Right. And he won't even trap. I thought that was an interesting aspect, too. It's like the Predator doesn't trap. He just wants to chase and hunt you down, right? Whereas, like, man, we're like, oh, well, we're going to set you up.
Right.
So.
We want you hanging upside down from the tree by your big toe and, you know.
Yeah. So. I remember when Predator 2 came out. I wasn't a huge fan of that when it first came out with Danny Glover. And I wasn't big into it because it felt like a drop off from the first one, but nowadays I think it's a little bit more nostalgic. I did buy Predators, on Kaleidoscape. I was hoping to watch it this week, but I didn't get a chance to. So I'm actually looking forward to that. Haven't seen that in, I don't even know. When did that even come out?
I don't know. Whenever it came out, that's when I saw it.
Exactly.
I don't even know if I did see it. Like, honestly, I might not have even seen it.
But all right. I knew as soon as we stopped last week, I was like, oh, I forgot to ask him, because I knew in the middle of us talking about it, I was like, ah, okay. I meant to say it, or I did say it, but then we went on to something else because, you know, us and our focus.
Yeah.
Theo M on YouTube. Theo says, hi, please don't restrict your show by time. Just go with the flow. iPad George is a great addition to the show. It's got a nickname, iPad George. Yeah. It's not iPad. You got the I right. It's International George, Theo, not iPad George. I love the movie Prey and great Dolby Atmos track and filmed beautifully. So he's actually, I think Theo's in Australia, if I remember right.
Okay.
He's out of this country, but he has a great Dolby Atmos track, Lucky Duck. But yes, we are not restricting the show by time. Steve and I kind of are, we're not trying to restrict it. We're just like, you know, there's only so much you can do and we keep on going. Right. But as you could tell, John and I'll just ramble. So
yes.
And we appreciate all of you coming back to listen for more rambling. Tweet from John about Prey. Sorry. It says, I love the movie, but like DJ, also have an issue with Crushed Blacks on Hulu in the States. I've never had that bad of quality issues with any other Hulu content. Really hope this gets a 4K or at the very least a Blu-ray release. Yeah, and I have a feeling it's more of the infrastructure of Hulu, and they're just putting out such a high quality piece of content that it just couldn't keep up.
Yeah, because Steve, when you talked to Steve about it last week, he said that Disney Plus didn't have that issue.
Mm-mm.
You know,
yeah,
and so maybe because they're set up to do, you know, Dolby Vision,
Disney
UHD,
Plus has
all
yeah,
that stuff. Yeah,
whereas really
Hulu
nice.
Doesn't really have that.
Yeah, I'd be willing to bet that Hulu's like got a very much lower bandwidth, you know, that they're allowing over Disney Plus. So right. You know, unfortunately, which really only makes me think that we're just closer to getting a physical disc on this physical, or at least a Disney Plus. That would be nice.
I almost spent $300 last week just to watch this movie on Disney Plus.
How?
Because I was looking into. Well, I can buy a VPN.
It won't work.
And
I heard
it will work.
Oh, will it?
It will work if you get a VPN router. Oh. Apple TV won't accept a VPN on their platform, but if you put it at the source as your router, and then it filters to everything in your house. But a good VPN router is like $280, and you know then the service. And so I was pretty close. I had it in my cart, and I almost pulled the trigger on it.
Oh,
I was like,
that would have
been
an awesome tweak.
But I was like, do I want to do all of this just to watch Prey? I'm sure there's other content that I would have opened up that might have made it worthwhile. But I was like, I don't know. The idea is not dead at this point, but I definitely didn't pull the trigger on it last week. But yeah, you do have to go to the source, and you have to, your VPN has to be part of the router, because Apple TV. Now, if you use something like a Fire Stick or something, you can sideload a VPN onto that and it may work, but Apple TV doesn't give you that option, so.
Look at you with all this jargon. I'm starting to feel like I'm sitting with Ara and his family again. What the hell?
Yeah. I know a couple things, you know, not a lot.
That's it. He's out.
Yeah, I'm done. See you next week.
Yeah, exactly. So. That sounds interesting. The only problem with a VPN to me is I don't want to mess up the rest of my house. I don't want to mess up the internet to my house or anything like that.
Well, it does. It does slow things down a bit, but I don't think I don't think it would affect the stream, but it does throttle the traffic a touch because you're routing it through whatever location that you're specifying that you want it to spoof, I guess. So it does slow it down a bit, but you know, if you're hardwired in your main system, like I know you are and I am, it probably wouldn't affect it too much. So, Wi-Fi, it might.
I know.
But yeah, you're right.
You
might
notice us right now.
You might notice a little bit when you're like, I don't know, messing with your phone or your iPad or something. But again, probably not enough to really bother anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, it wouldn't affect anything in your house, honestly, because it's an always-on connection. So it just you don't have to do anything. It just actually applies to every device on your network automatically. So,
right.
Yeah.
Oh, I know people have, I'm just I've never really cared about it. So it doesn't bother me.
Well, that's the only reason I don't care about it either. That's the only reason why I would
use it.
That
is an interesting solution. And you'll spend all that money and then they'll release it on the disc.
On disc. Yeah. Well, I also looked at, these things both have 14-day return policies, so it's like I could just, do this.
Trial,
watch Prey, and then send it all back. But I will more than likely get it set up and then enjoy it and end up keeping it. So.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, all right. YouTube comment from Carl. Stop making me. And then he just used a bunch of symbols to say effing. Tear up each episode, DJ. I don't try. I don't try, trust me. I actually. Thank you to everybody on your comments about that last week. Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised nobody screen grabbed it, which
I thought for sure that would be the screenshot
exactly,
of the week.
Exactly, because there is a contest to be won, and I'm not the voter. Only one submission so far, and we're doing four, so that definitely
we have an auto winner still right now.
Yeah, that's why Mark's like, I'm not saying nothing. But yeah, screen grab the funniest shot you can get and go back to next week's if you have to. I'm not giving you the timestamp.
No.
I messed with that all week. I was like, I could put a poster over it. I could do something like, no, screw it. It's me. It's who I am.
Yeah, just leave it. Yep.
Yep. Oh, I already read that one. Let's see. Carl read that one. Garinder, funny how John and you switched what you guys liked best between Batman and Spider-Man as you grew up. When I met my best friend back in grade 8, I was the one into computers, and he gave me Rolaids for my upset stomach. That's so funny. He goes, let me finish. He goes, years later, he ends up working in IT, and I'm in healthcare.
That's funny.
That's awesome, Garinder. It's like that they kept track of that moment.
Because like he probably had them in his pocket, like, you know, they came like in everybody. Rolls like lifesavers. Right. Yeah, they were like lifesavers, right? So
back then, yeah. What's an eighth grader doing rocking around with Rolaids?
But that's what I was thinking. He's like he's on the schoolyard with a pack of Rolaids. That's awesome. Oh god.
I don't know. When I was in eighth grade,
I need them now. I didn't necessarily need them then.
What was an eighth grader wearing his father's pants to school?
Right.
Oh, look what I got in my pocket. Oh, sorry, Garinda. Don't mean to make fun. Oh, God. That's great. Oh, man. That's so funny. I could see an eighth grader being into computers, but the odds that like, but I love that it's like that's still a memorable story, right? And of course it is. I mean, it's
yeah, you would really wouldn't forget it.
Right. Oh, it's like, oh, you know what somebody said the other day? We were talking about Munchkins and Starro Drive.
Yeah.
Remember going to the portfolio day in Boston?
Yeah.
And throwing the Munchkins from one car to the next, going down Starro Drive. Oh, no, not Starro Drive. It was Jamaica Way Parkway, I think.
Oh, Jamaica I don't remember Plain the Parkway. Road, but...
Yeah, it was all windy road.
Yeah.
They would explode on the second or third bounce, trying to catch them from... And Mr. McPhee, like, what the heck? What were you guys doing? Because this was before cell phones and stuff, so you couldn't say anything until we actually... got to the destination.
Right.
But a bunch of high school kids driving down this windy 55-mile-an-hour road, throwing Munchkins out the window back and forth with people hanging out the windows. Yeah.
Good times.
Surprise we're alive.
Yeah.
Reggie on speakers blowing. This is interesting. So, DJ, I'm afraid you have the wrong idea about what will blow. Speakers are reciprocals of power, not producers of it. The reason why a speaker will blow is because the amplifier you are using is up against its clipping limit. In other words, if you overdrive the amplifier, it will start to put out DC current instead of AC current, which is deadly for a speaker. That's why speakers blow, not because of the input power, but because of the quality of input signal. And I was like, and that, I don't know, like, obviously like that, like, and Reggie knows a lot of this stuff, but, and he knows it very, very well. He's, very much an audiophile. I have also heard that you can underpower them and you can blow your speakers as well. Like if it's not enough power, it'll ruin the speaker too. So, that falls in line. But yeah, that's awesome. So that makes me wonder though, like, what does it mean on my speakers that it says like 68.5 watts? That's all you need to drive it and be successful, but you could go over that and it won't blow it. Is that what that means? Right. You know, and it's,
yeah, like, I don't know.
So that's interesting. So Let's see. Next up, we have Mike Schramm. I made it through all 3 hours. Comment on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, thanks, Mike. Mike, Love and Thunder Schramm. And yeah, Mike, and then Dan. I listened to Friday's podcast today on the plane. You need to have a warning before those announcements. I was misty-eyed on the plane.
Oh.
I'm like, I think I replied to him. I said, where's the fun in that? I'm like,
yeah.
I don't know when they're coming. So
I didn't have a warning for myself.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't. I mean, I should have. Because like I said last week, I'm like, when I tried to tell my parents, it was even worse. Right. Matt Nelson, 3 hours was great. Consumed it this Saturday. 1 hour watched while I was on the exercise bike in the morning, then moved over to the phone for an hour while I mowed the lawn and finished the rest on my garage speakers while I worked on projects. My wife wishes it was longer. Hold there, fill-in joke.
Yeah.
So I could get even more weekend chores done.
Yeah. Good save.
Yep. P.S. Your format that is spoiler-free. I love your format that is spoiler-free, so that if I haven't seen a movie, I don't have to avoid the podcast until I do. It only adds to when I do watch the movie at hand. Let me repeat that again for John. P.S.
Yeah.
I love your format that is spoiler free.
I heard you.
We have a long standing joke, John and I. When we used to do the other podcast, we were like, let's do some spoiler free. He's like, I hate that. Let's just tell him to see the movie.
Well, it's just hard to have meaningful conversations.
Right. Yeah.
Spoiler free.
But I think we're doing a good job. We're actually breaking down movies spoiler free. So that you,
well, this is
just
a little different.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a little different format.
Though. Right. Right.
So,
but yeah, see, John, people are digging the 3 hours.
That's good.
John and I were talking before we hit record, and he's like, these 3 hours are killing me. I'm having a hard time listening back. Well, you are on it. It's not for you.
I know. But I like to listen back to the show at least once, but it's hard. That's my whole week.
Yeah,
that's my whole weekly commute.
I know. First you're on it, and you're listening to it. Yeah. And what else are you doing?
Yeah.
It's cutting into your content.
It's exactly. My real experiences are suffering.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Omar, I enjoy listening to Brightside HD, but when DJ talks and compares the DTS:X versus Atmos on Jurassic World Dominion, I'm so going to take the day off for that one. I have been wondering the difference forever. Not sure why I like DTS:X more, but I do. Might be the stronger bass. I will save comments on that for next week. So, Omar, schedule your day off, because next week's podcast will be on that. Just that. I got my disc today. I was hoping to have a little sneak peek for this show, but that didn't work out. Plus, I want to be able to do it right. So I'll be comparing DTS:X versus Atmos in next week's podcast. So next Friday, make it a long weekend, Omar, because I'm going to do a deep dive on that. I have my thoughts already on the difference between the two, but it's going to be a lot of fun to actually sit down and listen to two quality versions, because I got to imagine Kaleidoscape, I don't think they're putting out something that's compressed or anything like that in Atmos.
No.
And the disc is DTS:X. So very interesting. I can't wait to hear the difference, if there is any. So yeah, long weekend for you next weekend, Omar. Enjoy. And the last one on YouTube. This is, I got to zoom in here. Excellent show. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. This is from, no, I zoomed in too much. It says, okay, one more coffee. That's their name. So, excellent show. I've been using Neural X lately, Denon AVR 3700 X3700H, and I really like it. I can't give up my dynamic volume, though. I like it set to light. I have turned it off many times, but I always end up going back to it. Cheers. So, Okay, One More Coffee. That's their name. So, This is what I would say to you on that. I'm not strongly for or against most things, because to each his own. But I am, if I'm going to be strongly against something, it would be dynamic volume, because what it's doing, there's a purpose for it, and it's to even stuff out for casual viewing. But when we're enjoying these movies that were made by artists, and sound designers are artists, and they're moving the sound in a certain way, they're creating a feel for a movie that's going to be louder at some points, and then there's going to be other points where you actually have to pay attention, a la Christopher Nolan and his dialogue and everything, you know, and it's hard to hear. And sometimes when you bring a volume down like that and you can barely hear, it kind of makes you lean in and concentrate a little bit more. So there's purposes to all of this stuff in a movie, whether we understand it or not. And when you put a dynamic volume on, is you're just flattening everything out. You're like, if you imagine it like a bumpy road, it's like all of those little pits and valleys, those are all the quiets. And then all those big bumps, those are all the loud noises, and you're bringing them down and bringing the valleys up, and you're flattening it into the middle. And then if you try to do that, now you've flattened everything pretty much into a middle, you know, volume. And now you turn it up. Well, yeah, everything's going to sound crazy loud if you tried to go to reference, because now everything's up at that level. So yeah, in the 90s, it was about picture for me. And it was learning how to get used to a calibrated television. And like, you know, a calibrated television back then was like, it felt dimmer because we were so used to, like, we didn't know what it was, especially when you first were into this stuff. And it was, everything was vibrant and nice. And then you're like, oh, that's a little dim, but get used to it. And you'll get used to the detail and that you're seeing. And I would say the same thing here. Just try to leave dynamic volume off. And I think you might find that you can actually turn your volume up a little louder, because those quieter scenes, the movie itself should only be at an average of like 85 dB at reference. And then your loud sounds, there's just a few of them, but then they'll go up, but then it'll come back down. So I would try that, try to get used to that, because you're really kind of robbing yourself of a lot. In my opinion, right. I'm not angry if you use it, but if I'm going to be, you know, strong on anything, this is as strong as I get. Yeah. So I thought it was a great comment too, because a lot of people use it, and a lot of people are, and it's starting to explain a lot of things. And what I think is funny is like, people will be, maybe they're using it and they're not saying or whatever, but then they'll be like, this track stinks. And to be fair, if you're using something like that, just like I said with Elvis, you really aren't the best judge of how a track is if you're compressing the crap out of it. So, right. And I don't even want to know what auto does, but we'll get to that with Elvis a little bit later. So, all right. That'll do it for listener experiences. All right. This is the part of the show where we're going across the pond, John.
All right.
We just had a little break there, but now we're going across the pond. So, hey, Steve, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, really good. Really good. Are we gonna come clean and tell them what happened, or are we going to pretend it didn't occur?
No, let's lean into it like I always do. Crap happens, right? Yeah, so yeah. What did we get? Like 5 minutes, 5 minutes or so in, and I looked, and you weren't recording. I wasn't getting Steve's track recorded, so you just would have heard me and nothing on the other side, and that's completely the opposite of what this segment's supposed to be.
You'd have ended up dragging in one of your family members to fake English accents and just do the whole thing.
My daughter does a pretty good one. That'd be funny. There we go. Like, I think he said here. Oh, jeez. We can read his lips because I got the video, but I just didn't have audio. So now we hear you loud and clear, Steve. So again, surprise me. How are you doing over there?
Very well, thank you. Yes, we were talking about the weather and how it had been. It's been boiling all week here, absolutely ridiculously hot, and England is just not designed for it. We are not, we just can't cope with it. Our houses keep the heat, they don't dissipate it, and air conditioning is virtually non-existent here, so at least in domestic premises, and so we've been sweltering. But today, heavens have opened. Today we've got rain, we've got some cooling air, much more pleasant. But then that's had an effect on what I've been able to watch all week, because it's just been too hot to sit in closed rooms. So ironically, as I mentioned earlier, I'll try the joke a second time, and pretend that it's fine. Let's check your acting talent here at DJ. So, well, ironically, the only film I've been able to watch all week is Heat.
Good. Yeah, but no, I'm not even acting. I'm laughing because you nailed it. But the first time I said to you, I go, Dave, have you been working on that all week? And you're like, no, it just came to me. It just happened that way. It's just a coincidence. But those are the best ones. Those are the best jokes where you don't even mean it. But then when you have to do it a second time, you're like, oh, man.
It lands.
Yeah. So what did you think of it?
Well, this is the thing. It's been a very controversial disc. And I know some people, there's even been little actual arguments on Twitter this week about it and in previous weeks. And I know we mentioned it last time and you wanted to wait until I'd seen it to talk about it.
Yeah.
So film wise, it's as good as ever. It's not for me one of my favorites, but it is a film that I really like and I respect. And it's kind of one of those films I watch once a generation, or once a format, shall we say. So I've had it on VHS, DVD, Blu-ray, and now in 4K. And I think I watch it once a format, and I'm always glad that I owned it. So image-wise, it's dark, and darker than the Blu-ray. There's no doubt about it. The exterior shots look, again, I felt when I was watching it as if I had sunglasses on at times. And it drains a lot of the color, which, as I understand it, is exactly what Michael Mann intended when he started toying with this very recently. This is a tinkered with release, isn't it? The definitive edition, I think they're calling it. And so it does look to be, and this may be me reading too much into it, but it does look as though a lot of the exteriors have had the color drain to make it look more gray. Mm-hmm. This idea being there are shades of gray. This, no one's all good, no one's all bad. There's good and bad on all sides, as it were.
Right.
And so I can see why some people don't like it. I think it'll test some displays, as I put out on Twitter. I think there are some either not calibrated properly or lesser quality displays are going to really struggle with it. Mm-hmm. And so I get why people don't like it, in which case you've got your old Blu-ray, stick with that. You know, that's fine. But for me, the big thing that I really, really blew me away was the sound. Now, I know it's the same as the Blu-ray, but this is the first time I've watched it upmixed to Neural X. And you've got the bank heist, which of course is the one everybody always talks about, the bank heist, which, as we were saying earlier in take one, I think has been superseded by Ambulance. Ambulance is the better of the bank heist, and I've watched that numerous times recently. And just that sequence, I absolutely love that. So it's not that for me. The one that really I particularly like this time around was the planes at the end, the sequence of planes landing. We'll be careful with our spoilers. Each week I mention Patrick Stewart. I won't mention him. I think, by the way, it's only you and I that ever get that.
I know.
Nobody else knows. No one else. We haven't explained that to anyone.
Yep.
And the planes landing this time come right over the room and thunder down, almost overwhelming the soundtrack generally. They're so loud, but it's great. And genuinely, I had a big dopey grin on my face when that was going over, because it just felt so good. And I've never heard Heat like that before. I absolutely loved it. But what did you think of it?
Much in the same. And I really, you nailed the idea. I hadn't put it to words in my head the way you put it, but the way it was grayed out, I had already felt it was an artistic choice to take it down. Now I'll try to, stumble through the way I do. Yours was so eloquent, and it was perfect the way you said those shades of gray. And that's that's the purpose of this whole movie. And when you said that, I was like, oh my God, that is perfect. Because each character has shades of gray, right? Mm. They're not all good. They're not all bad. Right. Mm. So that, in itself, but I felt like what Mann was doing is, I think he was like graying this down and taking some of the saturation, right, and the vibrancy out of this, because that is what we, that's all we deal with, is the saturation. Every movie, it's like, look at how vibrant, and we're so excited. Like, an ambulance is perfect example, because it is a bank heist movie. It's like the quintessential exact opposite, and it's supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
Heat, nobody sat down and watched Heat from beginning to end and went, that was fun. No, it's a movie. It's like, there's many layers to it. There's, and I think the new 4K picture adds just another layer to it, and it makes it that much more artistic. Much like the Batman. I think everything that you just said is what we said about the Batman. Right. Mm. And you're like, that's going to test a lot of displays. That's gonna, you know, it doesn't look good through streaming. It isn't vibrant. It isn't this there. It has its moments, but nothing, you know, it's a piece of art. And I felt the same way about Heat. I feel the same way as you do about, like, I mean, maybe I like it a little more than you. I'm a kind of a big Val Kilmer fan, but I loved it. I loved the sound of it, but it does suffer when you compare it to everything that comes out nowadays. And especially when you go ambulance, especially the bank heist scene, and then you go back to Heat, and you feel like, you're like, am I watching, like, is this in mono? Like, what's going on? Compared to ambulance, you know, it's like, it's so much different. But it's supposed to be. And I think that's what's great about it. I thought your summation was awesome. Awesome.
Perfect. Well, thanks. It's every movie that's had a bank heist since has been compared to it.
Yes.
And I think so many movie filmmakers would say, you know, Heat, the bank heist, that's what we were trying to emulate. Mm-hmm. And I think they and so many take it that way. I mean, ambulance, as I said, the way every gun sounds like a cannon. Mm. You know, it's the same thing with Heat. I mean, in real life, they just pop, don't they? Guns just pop, 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 pop. But in this, it's like a giant howitzer every time.
Yeah.
An aircraft carrier, or, you know, a destroyer. And then, you know, and so, funnily enough, a film we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, very briefly, the film Raging Fire, which is the Hong Kong film I mentioned, which is Donnie Yen and another very famous Asian actor who are on screen for the first time together. And there's a bank heist in that. And again, clearly, this is Hong Kong's attempt at the bank heist from Heat. And it's great. And as you're watching it, you can't help but be thinking of Heat. But it's very good. And again, I would say it's better than Heat, because it's. I mean, again, we talked last time about homage and the difference between homage and straight theft. But standing on the shoulders of what's gone before and pushing it even further. It is good. As I said, I understand why some people don't like the new version of it. I see why it's controversial, and I don't always, but I think with this, I can. But, you know, it's Michael Mann's choice. He's the director. If it's closer to his vision, then more power to him. But it's an interesting release. I don't think, you know, you could. You watching it as a fan, we like the picture quality and we like what he's doing with it. But you wouldn't, I don't think, pick that out as a sort of 4K demo.
No.
You know, I think even to a fan of the film, I think you'd be like, you know, if you want to see a 4K set, let's look at some other ones. Again, Raging Fire or Ambulance all day long, because that's got picture and audio, hasn't it, that blows you away.
Yeah. Again, feel free to be fun. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But at the same time, it's those levels of gradation. It's all of that stuff. You could use it. Say you were teaching a course on HDR and filmmaking. You could use it as a great example. Look at what he did with the HDR here. He didn't go the way normal people do, like normal, what we're expecting to be blown away by. When you go in the opposite direction, it creates that contrast of just those two different pieces of art, right? And I like that. Not everything has to be as vibrant and as, you know, high contrast. It's it's a lot like that, and that's what I like about it. And the thing I was going to say about the bank robbery, the shootout, I think in Heat, it's also part of the movie. To take that out as a demo scene, right, in the mid, and just show somebody that, it's not as dramatic as watching the whole movie and then coming to that scene, everything means a lot more. And that's what that movie really is, right? It's the story. It's everything that's going on. You know, the ambulance, Bruckheimer, all of that. You can just do whatever in the middle. You know, you show that scene. Everybody's like, oh, my God, that was an amazing scene. But in Heat, there's a whole background to this. There's a story going on that you've been sitting through here and you're waiting. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, here we go. And like you said, at the very end, you get the, you know, you get that nice, the planes and stuff. And there is some nice stuff to it. But this is more of a cinematic experience than it is like, you know, home theater going to blow you away type thing. So,
It's a more mature film, isn't it? Than anything that Michael
more
Bay.
More cerebral.
Michael Bay, I think that's right. And it's interesting, isn't it? If you compare the two, as we are, Ambulance, you get the bank heist pretty much at the beginning, whereas Heat is building to that. That's your beginning of Act Three, isn't it?
Yeah.
Heat. Whereas in Ambulance, it kind of kicks off with that, and I'm sure you know that's a very deliberate structural thing, which is Michael Bay saying, "Look, we're gonna blow you away here.
You think
you've seen the bank heist? Check this out, and then everything will come from that." But they are both good films, but that's been the only thing I've really been able to watch this week because of, again, the Heat. So it's been a bit of an unfortunate one. And it's a light week for releases over in the UK as well this week. We've got nothing new.
You're not getting Jurassic World Dominion, right? We're talking about that on Twitter. So unfortunately, we haven't seen when you're getting that yet, right?
No. Well, there's mention of end of September, thanks to Jordan, who's just brought it up on Twitter about half an hour ago.
Yeah.
So hopefully end of September. Otherwise, I'm going to import it. I can't wait. I need to see what you were telling me all about all those weeks ago. But it's an extended version. So I think maybe that's got the drive-through sequence that we were talking about with the popcorn buckets. So I'm hoping, I'm hoping it's back in there so I don't feel that I've imagined it.
Yeah.
So we shall see. So we've not got much this week. I've bought a few more films this week. I bought Flatliners, which I know came out there a couple of weeks ago.
Yep, I got that.
Angel Heart, which I haven't seen for many, many years, and it's another De Niro film, which would be good. And a film, now, I don't know if you've seen this one. Have you seen Ran?
No, you told me about Ran a while
this
ago.
This is the Akira Kurosawa film. Yeah.
No, I haven't seen that one. You told me about it a while ago, so I'm kind of interested in it.
Yeah, so... It's a 4K version, just so you can see it. Sorry, I've got it here because I haven't put them on the thing yet. That's it there.
Yeah.
Back to front on there. It's an Akira Kurosawa film that I'd heard of but not bought it from 1982. And it's apparently an absolute masterpiece.
Okay.
I'm told it's basically his version of King Lear, Shakespeare's King Lear.
Oh.
But done with a wide palette with, you know, huge battles and everything else. And I picked it up cheap, so I'm told it's very good. And when I put up on Twitter that I bought it yesterday, I immediately had tweets from people saying, oh, how can you not have seen it? This is a masterpiece. So I'm really looking forward to that. Do Kaleidoscape put versions like that up? Do they put kind of Eastern movies, that sort of stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Far Eastern movies?
Yeah, I have. I've looked at it. Let's see. Yeah. I'm looking right now. Yep, I have it on Kaleidoscape in 4K and DTS Master Audio 5.1.
That's
4K,
the one. So
HDR.
That might be my homework for this week if I get a chance to check it out. I'm hoping I will. So that's this week. And then I also bought, I'm a bit embarrassed to admit it, I bought Doom in 4K as well. No one will hear this. They won't know, will they?
But it's just between me and you. Why? Why are you embarrassed?
I bought it.
It's not Midway.
It's quite well. I think probably Midway's better. I suspect. I don't know, but I haven't seen Doom. I haven't seen Doom since its release on. I think I rented it. This is, you know, from Blockbuster.
Yeah.
This is how long ago it must have been. And I remember thinking it was awful, but I bought it because I saw it and it was quite cheap. And this is one of the only few films I've bought on 4K. That I haven't put up on Twitter because I was too embarrassed to admit that I bought it. So now I've completely blown that out of the water. But
there you go. Hey, I've how many times have I said this? I've spent money on worse things, right? And it's like you know what are you doing? You know, it's fun. And if nothing else, it might be the worst movie, but it just all it's going to do if you find out it's the worst movie you've ever seen, right?
Yeah,
that just took the previous worst movie and elevated it.
See, it could affect me. Like,
see that? Talk about the bright side. It's like woohoo! Midway's not worst anymore.
It's not. To be fair, it's not one of the worst films I've ever seen. It's just
not for you.
No. So I've got to watch Doom again at some point. I'll give that another go.
Yeah.
But in terms of releases, the big one for me is next week again, which is Dog Soldiers is out next week. Now, have you seen that? Because you're not a horror guy, but I don't. A werewolf film, British werewolf film.
No, I haven't seen it. I don't even know if I've heard of it, to be honest with you.
Oh, right. Well, now that is one that, let me see. Now, bearing in mind the Malignant issues, I've got to think, now, do I recommend this or not? Okay. To me, it's an absolute classic. And to most people, it is. It's a film from the early 2000s.
And it's called what?
Dog Soldiers. It's not too niche. Most people have at least heard of it. It's a film about a group of British soldiers who are on maneuvers in Scotland, and they are attacked by something. And the fact that it's called Dog Soldiers probably tells you that it's a werewolf movie. But it's done in a very kind of sardonic way. It's directed by Neil Marshall, who has subsequently gone on to things like Doomsday. He did Centurion. He did The Descent was Neil Marshall's. After this. He's done lots of episodes of Game of Thrones since and various things. But it's an absolute classic. I mean, it's very, very well done. It's very tongue in cheek. All right, I'll put my neck out. I would recommend that you see it.
Okay.
But I think it's coming out on, is it Second Sight? So I don't think it'll be on Kaleidoscape.
It's not on Kaleidoscape. No, it's not on Kaleidoscape. Yeah. I'll have to track that.
This is
down.
A new 4K scan from the original negative. The Blu-ray was the worst Blu-ray I've ever seen in terms of image quality. The Blu-ray was dreadful.
Okay.
And looked like a pirate copy. It looked like someone had filmed it from the back of a theater with a video camera. You know, it was dreadful. And I've only ever watched that version once. And, you know, I've seen the film lots of times. But this is a new 4K scan. So I cannot wait for it. That's next week's release. And I think it's out there at the same time. So hopefully you'll be able to get hold of it. I'll be very curious to see what you make of that. John, I would be willing to bet, has seen it. If he's a horror guy, and he kind of is, isn't he? I'd be surprised if he hasn't seen it.
I'll find out.
Yeah. Well, people put it up there with The Howling and American Werewolf in London and that in terms of sheer kind of, you know, horror comedy type things. I'll be curious to see what you make of that.
Cool.
So that's it in terms of releases. It's a little quiet this side of the pond. But I'm making do by buying back catalog releases and plowing through those. Although I still haven't seen Event Horizon, I've got a pile of to watch stuff this big at the moment.
Yeah, same here. I haven't had a chance to watch that one yet. I got a bunch. And like I said to you when we started, I'm like, John's got a bunch that he's already watched this week, so can't wait to get to that. But he's way ahead of us. I'm just like, and now I like bring him in, and bring him onto the podcast, and he's surpassing me. I'm like, son of a, everybody's making me look bad. That's okay.
So that's it in terms of releases. In terms of other stuff, I mean, we've had a conversation the last couple of days about the Apple 4K TV screensavers.
Yeah.
And some of the new ones that have gone up. I don't know if we've ever talked about those before. I don't think we have on the podcast.
No. They're amazing.
They are. And I mean, everybody must know, because everybody with an Apple TV has seen them.
Yeah,
but there's not enough discussion about them. No one really talks about them, and I've seen them before and been stunned.
Yeah,
and yesterday I had to turn it on to watch this Day Shift, and as I put it on, this particular new one came up, and I just sat there open mouthed and took a photo of it and put it up, and then there's a real conversation going on Twitter about it at the moment.
Yeah.
So, and I like your idea. Your idea of the of a Dolby Atmos track on something.
Wouldn't that be fun? Yeah, it would, because you sit there and it's quiet. And I get that, but they could actually add in, like, what I was thinking, what I said on Twitter was like something like from Gravity, where just it doesn't even have to match the picture. What if it's just like a pong ball bouncing around your room in Atmos, going speaker to people would love that. And if you're on a sound bar, that would be nothing. You just hear, you know, and you could even put it to a rhythm. You could put it to like a rhythm, like a TikTok rhythm, right? And like TikTok, TikTok. But then if you were in a room that had full Atmos, it would be moving around the room, the same sound discreetly coming. That's just one example. Then you could do something like just swooshings or something, just something to engage the listener. They're like, oh, this went on. But at the same time, it's not going to wake you up if you're asleep and it comes on. Right. It's just a little ambient sound in the room, but discreetly moving around the Atmos channels around your room and really showing that off. But yeah, cause we're already mesmerized, like you said, by the images. It's like some of the ones that I like are the jungle flyovers or whatever, or the, where you're in the mountains and they're like 3D. You're coming up over a mountain and you're looking at the trees of the next mountain coming at you. And you're like, I can reach around that thing. It's amazing. They're gorgeous. Yeah,
the Iceland one is I'm looking at that just mesmerized at the blue of the water and the green of thing, and then you've got the dark volcanic kind of stuff behind it. But the space ones on a big screen, and obviously you've got that with the lights out. You can almost imagine you're on the space station.
Yeah.
You know, just because it's silent, of course, which it would be in space.
Yeah.
But it feels like you're there. It's so just absolutely amazing. Yeah, I found it incredible. I'd like to see. I was talking to who was it who mentioned it? It might have been Justin Sluss, or he was saying about, and I was saying how it would be nice to have a little making of documentary on each one as to kind of how they chose it, why they chose it, how they filmed it, because they look like they're being filmed beyond 4K. I think they're being filmed in 8K or higher. And you know, whether they're using drones or helicopters, and how they're getting these things would be really interesting. You know, a little short documentary, a little making of each one would be interesting. But yeah, that's been blew my mind yesterday, and I just put something up on Twitter, and then that was it.
Yeah,
people seem to be really responding to it. So yeah, and I know you were saying about you and your son got a bit mesmerized about a month or so ago. Just start watching them.
Yeah, we were sitting in the theater and we were talking and it came up, and then next thing you know, we're like, look at that. That was amazing. And then we waited for the next one, and then there was one, you're underwater and you're like, that looked 3D with, I think it was dolphins or whales, whatever. Yeah. But and then the little cars, when you see, you're looking down at a city and it looks like it's a photograph. But then when you look really close, you could see they're moving. Or there was one over a plane, an airport, and the planes are taxiing. Yeah. It's just, but you just get stuck there. And you're like, look at this. Did you see this over here? And then you're like, want to rewind. Back it up. Yeah. Back it up. They are absolutely amazing.
You know you can scan through them, don't you?
Yes. You could skip to the next one.
And back. You can go back as well.
Right.
You can, so you can do
but
it.
But you can't scrub the speed of what's going on, though, right?
Yeah.
Maybe someday. Yeah, fingers crossed we'll get more interactive screensavers.
Isn't it a funny little thing that Apple do where they just want to do, just throw it on and let you let people like us discover it and gush about it. I mean, they could easily have just put up an Apple logo. We'd have been happy with that. It could have even slightly changed color. You'd have never thought anything more of it. Only someone, whoever it might be at Apple. I mean, let's face it, the company don't care about us, but someone working at Apple somewhere decided, wouldn't it be nice if we spent some money? Because they're not cheaply made, that is for sure. Spend some money and we'll go out and we'll film these things just so the home cinema geeks who are sat there talking about or looking at something else will suddenly go, oh, look at that.
Yeah.
It's incredible, isn't it?
That's why you'll know it really is for the home cinema geeks if they add in some sound, because that's what I always appreciate, is that that really is for us, because a lot of people have a 4K display and but very few are able to take advantage of the great surround sounds, and that would be fun. So
I would say the whole Apple TV experience, the whole app on on an Apple TV is designed for us cinema geeks. I mean, we've talked in the past about the quality of the images coming through from their shows and their content, but the audio as well. I mean, the first thing I ever watched on my Apple TV 4K was C, and that, you know, as I said to you before, the very opening to that, it starts with your, with the credit sequence, and that it talks about your TikTok. That's little noises, isn't it? And echoes going around the thing. And that, as soon as I heard that, I'm thinking, yep, this was made for me. Okay. You know, this is made for me with my Atmos setup, and they get it. And I mean, they it's very cool. I mean, you know, we won't talk too much about Apple. We won't try and study too much. But you know.
One last thing: did you know that when you scan, like, so you'll have your apps on the screen, right? Mm. And like for me, Netflix is at the far left, and I have Apple TV Plus at the far right. And when you scan, and if you have the sound on, the boing, 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 it scrolls across, it pans across the front.
Oh, does it? Oh, that I haven't done. Ooh, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll pan across the front of your room. So it's if you're on the right side of the, and you go boing, 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 and all of a sudden you'll hear that sound go to the left side. Isn't that cool?
I know us too well.
I know. But unfortunately, that shuts the screensaver off because now you're playing with that. But all right, keeping us entertained one way or the other.
That's it.
Simple minds, simple chores.
But it is very cool. It's a great little thing. I mean, I've been watching Blackbird recently. About three episodes into that.
Yep.
And that again is a really nice series again, it's an Apple exclusive. And that's really good. Have you seen any of those yet?
I haven't gotten to that one yet. John watched it, and it's on my list to get to. Maybe by the time I talk to John this week, I will have watched an episode. I'm trying to, but that's I've heard a lot of good things, but I heard it's a good show, but I heard it's great. Yeah. You know, it's a decent home theater experience as well, the HDR and everything. So
there are some shots at the beginning that are clearly, they're only there. Look at how beautiful this looks in HDR. You know, sunsets over cornfields, and you know, there's a literal shot where the camera pulls back. There's someone is riding away from the shot, and it's a sunset. It's at magic hour, and there's no other reason at all for it to be other than look at the HDR. Look how lovely this looks.
Yeah.
And in what is quite a dark show. I mean, it reminded me of True Detective season one. It's very much like that, and really kind of evocative and dark, and dealing with some unpleasant things, but of course I can watch this, you see, because this is an American legal procedural stuff. I can watch this without a problem. If it's British, I can't, because I get annoyed at all the procedural issues.
Inaccuracies.
So I can watch this though and enjoy it because I don't know enough about it. So it's
right. Nice. All right. We're at about a half hour. So I mean, for a quiet week, we're doing all right.
That's a blink of an eye for us.
I know. And we did it. We practically did it twice.
If you get to watch Dog Soldiers between now and next time, or at any point, that will be another Prey style lengthy job.
Think? Because, okay.
Yes. And that one, by the way, do watch that with Jen. Okay. Make sure, because I know she likes horror stuff. She likes horror with a bit of comedy. And also British accents and the rest of it. I'll be very curious to see what you both make of that. It's a very different film to Malignant, just to reassure you.
I hope so.
But that could be a long one. That could be a long discussion. To see what you make of it.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
All right. That'll do it for this week. Thanks, Steve. Okay. We'll be back. We'll talk to you next week.
Will do. All the best. Thanks, buddy.
And we're back.
Oh yes, we are back. Short conversation with Steve this week. Only a half hour. Did you enjoy your half hour break, John?
I did.
Get up, stretch your legs. That couldn't have come earlier.
Went to the bathroom. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
I know.
Went and turned off dynamic volume.
Because I chastised you earlier. As I do, you know. I too brutal? Was that me? Was I too
brutal? You know,
I
felt like I caught a tiger by the toe there, you know.
Was I too brutal on that? No. I apologize. I'm sorry. Don't be mad. Yeah. All right. We've got some 4K releases coming up this week. Are you ready for that?
I am.
All right. First up, we have Kirk Douglas, Paths of Glory from 1957. Are you excited for that,
finally,
John?
Finally. Paths of Glory.
Oh, couldn't wait.
No, it took so long.
I know. I mean, it's phew, amazing. Can't wait. 4K in all its glory.
Right.
I've never heard of it.
No, I haven't either.
Stanley Kubrick, though. I may actually get it.
I do like that all of these catalog titles are getting 4K releases. Like,
yes.
I might not ever watch any of them or care, but I do like that it's happening. Because eventually the things I do care about will get there.
You know? When they get out of the 50s.
Like maybe I'll get to Tombstone and King Arthur. You know,
yeah.
Some of the movies I do care about.
Right. Yeah. So, all right. This next one, Steve and I just talked about Dog Soldiers. You didn't hear the conversation with Steve.
I haven't heard it yet.
Oh, that's right. You were off.
I was on a break. I was turning off dynamic volume.
We were on a break. Yeah. We were on a break, for God's sakes. I was turning off. Shout Factory. I've already ordered my copy. Steve and I talked about it. He's very excited for this.
I don't know this movie.
You don't know this movie? So
I don't think so.
It's from 2002. It's about, it's from Europe, I think, if I remember right, because that's maybe why we don't know as much about it. But, Shout Factory's put it out. As soon as I hung up with Steve recording, I ordered it. And, okay. It comes out next week. It comes out on Tuesday, the 23rd. And, I'm kind of excited for it. It's about a group of, well, Steve just explained it, but it's like a military film, but it's a werewolf movie. So they run into werewolves. So,
awesome.
Yeah. So
interesting.
Yeah, it does. It sounds really interesting. And he's trying to, I think he's trying to redeem himself from Malignant. So we'll see. We'll see. But
this will have to be really good.
Not really. And then also next week, Dirty Dancing in 4K, the 35th anniversary edition. 4K, Dolby Atmos. Kind of excited for this one because
it could be fun.
Yes, actually. I've heard some reviews of it so far, and it sounds like it's pretty good. It sounds like the Atmos track is pretty good. 4K. It looks like
I haven't seen that movie in 20 years, but
yeah,
you know, I remember it well.
Last time I saw it, John, I had the time of my life. It was amazing. It's amazing. So. All right. And last but not least, definitely not least, dropping August 23rd, digital Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah.
I am.
That's a huge gap between the digital and physical release here.
So, yes, the news came out as we're talking today, the drop today, that it was November 1st for the physical release. And the digital release is next Tuesday, Tuesday the 23rd. I've got my fingers crossed, no confirmation yet, but most likely that's when I get it on Kaleidoscape in Dolby Atmos.
And you pre-ordered it, so, you know, they won't run out.
Nope, I got my copy reserved. That day is going to come when somebody's on, like, on Kaleidoscape or wherever, be like, they ran out of digital copies. I'll be like, yes.
Yeah. I got mine.
Woohoo! I win. So very interesting. A lot of conversation about this today on the interwebs about variable aspect ratio. I guess if you go on, you know, Blu-ray.com, they're showing two aspect ratios. So we're getting through the, you know, a la, you know, Dark Knight and other movies, and not a fan. That's what I said on, I pick one and go with it. Right. I don't
care. What I'm saying. Does that mean it's variable, or does that mean it's presented in both? You know,
it could it usually means on IMDb that it's variable. So what's interesting is Kaleidoscape has it listed at 185 right now. And that's it.
Right.
But that could also be like when they just put it out, it's just like they just that's say their
pre-order information.
Their pre-order information. They don't know. But they have updated their audio track. So when I bought it, like the day the movie came out, it said nothing on anything.
Right.
And now it has all the audio tracks that you're going to get, and it will be in Dolby Atmos on Kaleidoscape. So I have that, you know, I'm excited for that. But for the most part, all of the variable aspect ratio movies on Kaleidoscape are not. They're usually 240:1 on Kaleidoscape. And, you know, the movies like say Avengers is probably 185 is 185 because that's what it is everywhere. Right. So except for Aquaman on Kaleidoscape is variable aspect ratio. But on Kaleidoscape, it listed at 185. So I was all excited because I'm like, ooh, I'm going to get this whole, when I bought Aquaman, I'm like, I'm going to get this whole movie in 185 because the disc is variable aspect ratio.
Right.
Uh-uh. I was kind of disappointed because I'm like, pick one, you know, I'll live with it and go with it. It is fun. But
for you that uses masking, it doesn't bother me very much because I don't use masking. So if it's switching around, it doesn't affect a whole lot. But yeah, if you're trying to use your masking, it throws a wrench in
that.
You can't do that.
Right.
Because, yeah.
Well, it also throws a wrench in it for people that have, you know, CinemaScope screens. If you have a 240:1 screen, well, now you have to go to the 16:9 screen and watch your whole movie there. And then when they go, it's like now you're getting the bars. It's awful. So I get that. I have a 16:9 screen, so I'm fine. Either way, it's like if you make it variable, I just have to deal with the slightly grayed out bars, right? Instead of the nice velvet black. That's fine. I'm just not a fan of. There's only a few movies where I actually like it. And it Black Panther being one of them. I thought that was interesting the way they did that. But a lot of times I don't find that it does much to add to my enjoyment of the movie to go back and forth like that. And when I first did it, like on Dark Knight, I'd have people in the room and I'm like, they're like, what are you showing me? I was like, you didn't see it? Look at what? Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
some people don't even notice.
They don't even notice it. So it's like, just pick one and go with it.
Right.
So that's how I feel on it. So it'll be interesting to see what we get on Kaleidoscape if I do get variable aspect ratio a la Aquaman, or if they update it and I get the CinemaScope, or do I get the whole thing in IMAX? I don't know.
Right.
So we'll know next week, and I'll have a sneak peek on that for sure next Tuesday. There's no way I'm getting to this record with you and not have that information on that. Because it drops, you know, unless it drops.
Like you said, fingers crossed. It might not be there.
Right.
If they hold true to form, it should be.
Yeah. So, yeah, I got my fingers crossed for that. So, very excited for that. So, and John, because it is dropping digitally, I have it in my budget. You're getting your digital copy because there's no way I'm waiting until November for you to have to listen to this and not talk about this. And this, I've put stuff on your doorstep before.
I know you have, but I'm not a big fan of that.
I know.
I had a feeling when you said,
yeah,
mentioned it earlier that that's what you were going to say. Cause I know
that
you're
was
not
before
sending
we started
me a Kaleidoscape.
Yeah. I go, I got a surprise for you. And he goes, I'm getting a Kaleidoscape. No, yeah. I'm like, not that big of a surprise. Yeah, no, that's because, and I'm going to watch it digitally as well. I'm going to get it digitally. And here's something else I wanted to talk about. I think this is one of those movies that is absolutely worth buying digitally because they are putting, from what I've read so far today, it's only been announced for a few hours now, but there's a bunch of extras that are coming with the digital release, like kind of like the Batman had.
Right.
And they're making it that this movie is so popular. Why do you want to wait? We've spent worse money on worse things like Malignant.
Well, right. And from what you said, that's one of the actually only big drawbacks to Kaleidoscape is that you don't get those extras like you do on the
I think if I get them on the Blu-ray, I do.
Oh, I get okay.
them. Yeah, yeah. You can get all the extras and stuff on Kaleidoscape. It's part of the Blu-ray. Yeah,
that you didn't get them.
When you get the 4K download, that was one of the things people said about the 4K. Like, well, the 4K is bigger because of all the extras. No, the 4K download's just the download. It's just like the just like when you get the disc. There's no there's very limited extras on a 4K
disc.
It's on the other one. So same thing on Kaleidoscape. But what I'm saying is for people that are like, I'm going to wait until November. So 2.5 months.
Yeah, which is a long time.
For $20 or whatever it's going to be. Maybe it's $25. I don't know. Whatever. It's, even if it's 30, that's a long time to wait to have this in your home. And this is, I'm not trying to tell people how to spend their money, but to me, this is how we learned. This is how we learned our systems. This is how you learn what is fun and what quality is better than other quality, because watch this movie. I remember when, I think it was only a 3-week difference. Maybe it was a 2-week difference, but it was, Winter Soldier, Captain America, Winter Soldier. I could not wait for that movie. So I bought it digitally and it was like a 2-week wait, I think. And I watched that movie so many times. And one of the things that I was excited for is I wanted to ingest that movie so many times and get used to it. And then get that disc in house and be like, wow, that is that much better. And that's how you learn that stuff. And this is one of those movies. It's like 2 hours, 10 minutes. It's not a long movie. You're going to take this in for the next 2.5 months. We're going to be talking about scenes. People are going to be like this, that, and the other. And be like, and do you want to be the person sitting there going, I can't wait for the disc? Or do you want to say, wow, when the disc comes out, you'll be able to say, wow, what a difference that really is.
Right.
And that's, to me, that's part of the fun. And if you just want the discs and, you know, steel books, I like them, but some people just collect them for that reason. That's a whole other reason. But I wouldn't sleep on the digital. And I mean, I'm buying it, so I'll have all, and when the disc comes out, I'll have the disc. So obviously I put my money where my mouth is. Actually, it goes out the door.
You do.
But
I'd just rather, if I'm going to spend $30, I'd rather just transfer it into my Kaleidoscape fund.
I know. And, you know.
Get a little closer.
Right.
But yeah, but that is a long wait, like you said. And again, I'm already waiting on movies that I haven't bought yet that I really want, you know. Like, I don't have Doctor Strange, and I'd love to have that. But, you know.
But you have the digital. I mean, you can always watch it on Disney Plus.
I have Disney Plus, yeah. I just have Disney Plus.
Right.
But,
yeah.
But yeah, I'm sleeping on a bunch of things right now, just trying to get closer to that magical number.
I know.
By the Kaleidoscape. So,
yeah, I'm actually kind of interested to see. I'm wondering how many versions I'm going to need to compare, because we're going to have obviously Kaleidoscape, but then there's going to be an iTunes. I'm sure there'll be a Paramount Plus version too, and it's got to be a premium purchase.
Yeah, I don't know how that's gonna work.
I don't either. I'm kind of interested to see how they do that, because this is such a big opportunity for them, right? Money wise, I think a lot of people are. And where's the better quality gonna be?
I think that's why there's such a big gap in the physical release too.
Yeah,
because they want to. You know, they haven't made all the money yet. You know, they want to get all those digital downloads.
Yeah, you know? They've made quite a bit.
I know. That's why I was being facetious.
Yeah, yeah. No,
they've already passed like Titanic and, you know, all these movies on the charts. So,
I couldn't be.
But yeah,
more
having
excited.
That 2.5 months to sell digital copies is a lot. You know.
Yeah,
it's a long time.
So yeah, next Friday out, you'll hear me talk about initial experiences with that. But then the following Friday will be a pretty big breakdown of Top Gun right. Maverick and the difference in quality and all of that. That's what I'm planning for that show, and I'm hoping another big surprise for that show as well. Should be fun. So. But yeah, really, I mean, it's been a great year for movies, right?
It has.
I mean, yeah, we have, has. Did Spider-Man No Way Home, that was December, but
December,
the disc
yeah,
came out.
So it was kind of the end of last year. Yeah.
Right. But we had the Batman this
oh,
year.
Oh, well, the movie, yeah, the well, the, yeah. And again, I'm sleeping. I don't have the Batman. I'm sleeping
right.
on that one as well. So
yeah.
I'll have a bunch of things to catch up on once I finally get that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll have a whole library to catch up on because it'll be empty when I get it. So and that's like, I won't be able to afford to buy any movies. Be like, okay, well, I got this piece of hardware.
Yeah.
There's nothing on it yet. But
it's like you're shaking it and there's nothing in it.
Yeah. It's empty. Let's go.
Oh. All
and of
right.
course, I'll have to buy New Hope, so.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. You got to buy them all. That's what I did. I bought them in order of that I would normally buy them. I bought New Hope, Empire, Terminator 2, and then Jedi, I think, after that. Something like that. But all right. That should do it for 4K releases for Tuesday. It's quite a bit.
Yeah.
All right, you ready to get to our list for listener experiences? Oh, not listener experiences, I'm sorry. Real home theater experiences for this week.
Yeah.
And we have quite a bit.
We do. Actually, I'm going to jump in first with my my movie experience.
Oh, you want to do that one first? Oh, okay.
Yeah, because
right.
Well,
let me fire everything
matters,
up here.
But
get this.
I usually do them in like the order that I watched them throughout the week, but since I left my house to do this one,
right?
Doesn't really.
Yeah.
Really matter.
All right. All right. Fire away, and then I've got a listener. I've got a home theater, real home theater experience. I can't wait to tell you guys about too. But
awesome.
But go ahead.
Yeah. So the wife and I went out to see Bullet Train on Sunday.
Ooh.
Yeah, the Brad Pitt
yep.
movie. I didn't see it in the best theater, so like I can't comment a whole lot on what kind of home theater experience this is going to be. Mm. Although based on what I saw on the screen, it could be a fun ride.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when it comes to the home theater experience. This was again, I'm not going to say it's a masterpiece or anything, but we loved it. It
really?
Was just so fun. Yeah. Exactly what you think it would be if you've seen the previews at all. And it's definitely a Brad Pitt, you know, vehicle. And, you know, with all of his quirks and, you know, kind of like the older he gets, the more I like him. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Because
he's just so chill and just doesn't give a crap about anything. And,
yeah.
And it, you know, that comes through here in this movie. He's just super zen and super charming. Yeah.
Just bought it.
Oh, is it on?
Kaleidoscope.
Where did you buy it? Oh, is it on there?
No, I pre-ordered it.
Oh, you pre-ordered it.
I got my copy. Nobody can take that away from
nobody
me.
Nobody can take it away.
No, I was waiting to hear what you thought of it.
It was a lot of fun. I'm trying to think. What was the other guy's name from Kick-Ass? What's that? Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Oh, okay.
That's the
Aaron Taylor.
I guess Quicksilver. Yeah, he was great in this too. I almost didn't recognize him. Like I knew he was in the movie, but as he was on screen, it didn't look like him. But I was
older.
I don't know who this is.
Yeah.
But then I put it together. He was great in it. The guy from Warrior, which I'm not sure if you ever started watching that or not. From HBO Max,
No.
Yeah, it was the
No, I did watch Warrior. Show. I did watch that.
Did you? Okay,
yeah,
so he was
in, we talked about that. Yep.
Yeah, he was in this. Joey King, who's the actress that was in that princess movie on Hulu that I talked about a few weeks, she was in it. There had a bunch of people in it, and Sandra Bullock makes an appearance.
Yep.
Couple of other cameos I don't want to spoil because they were kind of fun when they came about, so I'll leave it as a secret.
Okay.
But this should be a great home theater experience. But again, I watched it in just kind of like the cheap theater, so there was no Atmos, there was no XD, there wasn't anything.
Right.
But like I said, it's definitely worth it, and I think you guys will like it. So
cool.
Yeah.
All right. All right. My home theater experience this week is a little different. It wasn't about the content. It was about what do we all like to do with our theaters? We like to show them off. Right. Well, I had the hockey team over for a lobster party on Saturday.
Right.
And we were talking, and somebody, one of my buddies and his fiance, they were like, you're one of those that you don't have to go to the movies. What do you got, a nice sound bar or something? And my son and I looked at each other, right? My son looks at me, and he's just like rolled his eyes like, uh-huh, let's go show
him. I got like, a nice sound bar.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you got a big TV and a nice sound bar? Like, they were making fun of me, or she was,
right?
She said it sarcastically, which is, that's fine, right? Yeah. It was funny. Like an hour later, we're talking, and somebody said something else, and I was like, my son's like, you want to see? And we're like, yeah, let's go. And I'd already gone in and fired it all up, so it's all sitting there ready and go. And they walk in, and they were like, oh. And that's what you want, right? So one of my buddies, Charlie, he goes right for the good seat, goes right into my seat. Couple other guys, they flank them on either side. Joe goes to the back corner. The guys get in the front, right? And sit. And I put on just quickly. We were only in there for like 4 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes. But I just threw on Avengers because it filled the screen.
Right.
And the opening scene of that. And the comments, like I dim the lights and they're all like, oh, right? And, the guys, they're like, that's amazing. That's a nice projector. That's this. And they're saying all the right things. And then the image, they're like, the black levels are amazing and this and that. And they're saying all the right things. And Joe and I are looking at each other like what the hell? How do they know? You know,
how do they know about black levels?
You know? They're like, oh,
they're muggles.
Yeah, I know. But no, they had all the right lingo and everything. It was really cool. But apparently they're kind of into it, but just don't have anything and had never seen anything like this. And they're like, the detail and this and that, and they're like, how do you get that? And I was like, well, you know, like it's a little
you gotta
bit...
spend about, you know,
yeah
$10,000-$12,000 and so, you get there.
Yeah. And but yeah, so it was just a lot of fun, just very quickly. And then one of the wives comes in like, what do you got? Oh my. They open the door like, what are you guys doing? Oh, okay, all right. So that was it's just, that was so much fun because it's very rare you get some that reaction. Like when Mike Love and Thunder Schramm was on, and he was telling me a story once, like he turned his on and turned it up, and he's upstairs waiting for people to like, what do you got going on down there? Nobody said anything, but you're still like, you're that little kid. Like, who wants to see it? Who wants to see my room? So that's awesome. It was a lot of fun, and now they all want to like come over and watch Pat's
and
games
watch
content and all that. So this is awesome. So yeah, I figured everybody listening, you can all appreciate that because that's what we want. You know, we want those outsiders to be amazed. So lots of fun. All right, as far as content, what do I want to go with first? All right, let's go with this one first. The Sandman. So I'm only a few more episodes into this, but you were right. Like once you get past that first episode and you get into second, third, fourth episodes, I wanted to talk about the HDR. It is some of the most creative and best HDR I've ever seen. And I mean that like completely, like it's some of the best HDR I've ever seen because of the way they used it. Artistically in the show. It's not just like it's, you know, like Ambulance looks fantastic because it's so bright and vibrant and, you know, the Batman is like, oh, so much detail and have it so great. But this one here, it's like, for some reason, what they've done, and it's streaming, but they lived within their confines of compression and everything they have to deal with. But yet there still was like layers in the scenes and like depth of field that they were utilizing in, like, I guess, dream sequences or something, that you were like,
yeah,
it is absolutely stunning, because you're like, this is streaming. It brings another level to the show, of never mind the story and stuff. And the sound is great too. The Atmos is incredible, but I wish I had finished the show. I wish I'd had the opportunity to watch more, but it's just so good. You just can't wait to get back to more. And like, I'm trying to think of like there was, off the top of my head, I'm just thinking of, I think it was smoke or something, or some kind of atmosphere coming in the middle. It looked like 3D, but it was weird how they manipulated it, and the way they use the focus and they go between characters and stuff. I think it has a lot to do with that whole dream part too.
Well,
and they're trying to, because, you know, they're trying to funk your mind out there a little bit, but it's absolutely amazing what they did. I can't recommend it enough. And I really enjoyed the first episode. A lot of people were saying, like, once you
get through
that,
I did too. A lot of people said they thought it was slow. But the thing is, that's the setup. Like, you have to get through that first episode. There's no way to set up this story and do that any differently.
Right.
I mean, it's tough to go through the whole first episode with your protagonist caged and not doing anything. But, like, there's no way to tell that story. It's so important to the story.
Right.
And that was what I had a hard time, like, I've mentioned it a few times, well, not on this show, but on the other show, that I haven't been able to get through the book. Like, I've tried to read this a couple times, and it's those first few issues where you're dealing with all of that stuff in the beginning that it just slogs through. But I am now actually past that. I am reading it finally, and I've passed that point to where, and it helps now that I have frame of reference, because it's like I watched the show, so when I'm reading the comic, I was like, oh, well, I know what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
Oh, it's kind of put me through to where now I will barrel through the whole 75 issues, and, you know.
Oh, nice.
So it did help me, which I was hoping that would happen by watching the show, because I've wanted to read it forever, and I just couldn't get through that early couple of those first few issues.
Yeah. You
know? I was so impressed with that show. I really, really liked it.
Yeah.
Like, there's episodes, which I don't think you've seen the death episode yet, right? Because if you're only four in, I'm going to go back and watch that one again just on its own, because it was so good. And I just read that issue in the comic last night, and it's like, it's not beat for beat, but it's pretty close. And
It's such a
kind of poignant episode and issue in the comic. It's really, really good, and I'm definitely going to go back and watch it again. So
nice. Yeah, sounds a lot like, or reminds me of Doom, right? Like the show, it's pulling you in and making you want more content. Like we were,
which I just finished that book too
with Doom. But that's how we were finally. With Doom. We were like, oh, I want to read. I want to know more. I want more right away. And
it took me 6 months to read it, but I finally finished it this last week.
The book? So, or the
book,
comics?
Yeah.
Oh, the book?
No, the book, yeah.
Oh, nice. So, really enjoying that. If you're not checking that out, and again, I know some people, same thing. It's, you know, I know I'm always saying, like, hey, like I did with Top Gun Maverick, like, get the digital. Like, you're into this hobby and you're trying to save money, it's the wrong hobby. And I know some people are like, you know, Netflix, you have to get the more expensive version,
right?
You know, to get Atmos and Dolby Vision and stuff. But, you know, even if it's like, what is it, $12 and then eight,
no,
I don't
it's
know,
like $20. It's up there.
It's
now.
$20. It's like, no, but $20. What's the cheaper one? I mean, it's $20.
Oh yeah, maybe 12. Yeah, maybe $12.
$12. So
it's like another $8 or $9
a month.
But again, everything's, you know, Disney just announced price hikes, and Netflix has gone up twice this year. So, like, they're really kind of pushing the envelope on what people are going to be willing to pay to get this stuff.
Right.
But yeah, unfortunately, I'm always going to have the highest tier available, and I'm going to pay for whatever it is. So,
yeah. Yeah, I hate to say, like, oh, I mean, we spend so much money on other things, right? And then you're like, but then you're going to skimp on the thing that's feeding that, right? You spend thousands of dollars on a system, like thousands of dollars on a system. And then right, you're like, but I'm going to save $8 a month on this. And it's like, to me, it's like that, you know, the guy that's 50 pounds overweight cycling and he gets the really light pedals.
Right.
Look.
And the thing is, there's something
you skip
we're
the Big Mac, you'd be okay.
We're talking about something new on Netflix almost every month.
Yeah.
In regards to the Atmos and the Dolby, you know, all that stuff. And yeah, it's just worth it. You know, it's
to
worth
me,
spending that money to get it. You know?
Yeah.
Because even the thing I'm going to talk about next is a Netflix property, you know, and
yeah.
Like they're putting out good quality stuff and it's worth it. You know, so is that, you know, just like Apple TV, if you're not paying for that, you know, and you like good quality stuff, you should be paying for it.
Right.
You know,
right. And it's like that's the thing. We'll buy a disc. You go out and buy a 4K disc for what? $27. That's one movie for $27. But you get Apple TV for, what is it? $8, $9, something like that. And you get a bunch of content for the month. Right.
Right.
And it's just, you know, once a month. So this is kind of why I don't ever want a sponsor from other, like, I'm trying to get people to have the best experiences in their theaters. And let's talk about those experiences. I hate to tell you how to spend your money, but it's like, but yeah, if we're going to be like,
well, yeah,
but tens of thousands of dollars on a room and then
like, well, and again, if you're listening to this,
yeah,
you should be paying for the premium version.
You know,
if your grandma,
unless you don't care. I mean, you might not like Netflix and you might not like that stuff and that's fine. And you just want to go. I know I do have listeners that just go all physical and, and that's fine, you know, but there is some good content out there.
There is.
So, Yep. All right. What do you have? We're getting preachy today. What's the next
a little bit? So Lock and Key season 3. Final season dropped last Wednesday, actually. It was 8 episodes, so it was shorter than the first 2 seasons. But again, this was another one that was really, really good. You know, we've talked about Sandman, we talked about Stranger Things. This had really good Atmos. Like,
it
was
really
awesome. Yeah. I know you're only on season 1 still, and
I finished season 1. We finished it.
Okay, but you didn't watch season 2.
Right.
Is what I'm saying, But you're familiar with, like, the keys and how the keys work.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, when they find the keys, it's the whispering, you know, of the keys. And that is such a great effect in Atmos.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Because it's whispering all over your room. It's like you're wondering where the key is, too, you know?
Oh.
It's like you start to hear that whispering, and it's, like, coming up from above you, and then it's over on your right shoulder, and then it's over in the left, you know, front part of your room, and it's like really, really awesome. You know, without, you know, again, spoiler free, I just made note of a couple of episodes. The whispering with the keys, that happens kind of throughout the whole show, the whole season. They didn't find as many this year as they did the first 2 seasons because they kind of had most of them, but there were still a couple of times where that happened. But there's some great episode 6 had some really, really good bass, some great scenes. These really shook the house and was really awesome. And then same thing, the end of episode 7, sort of the beginning of episode 8, because it picks up kind of where episode 7 leaves off. And it's, you know, where the rifts are opening, you know, because again, if you're familiar with season 1, you know, it's like a doorway to another world, and those rifts are opening up, and it's just really shaking, you know, shaking the house. It's just a really great bass effects. So I was really impressed with it. You know, like I said, it was another one that I watched, and I like the show better than you. You know, obviously, you didn't like season 1 that much. I actually did like it. I thought the show itself was good. I thought the ending of the series was good. But it was a pretty good experience.
It's done now, right?
It's done. Yeah, done. It's like that was it. Season 3 was the end of it. And, you know, season 2, season 3, it was kind of like, you know, Game of Thrones when they went past where the books were. you know, most of the books took place in season one of Lock and Key.
Yeah.
So seasons two and three were more or less just new content. Like it was just, they took the story in their own direction. And I liked where it went. You know, I liked both of them. But it was kind of like off the reservation as far as like what the books had. Because
Well, they,
the books are, they really did all of the books in season one. So, but yeah, I thought it was good. But yeah, it's done. Like there's no, really no way for it to continue on or come back. So,
well, judging by your, the Atmos, it makes me want, I started seeing your notes as the week went on and I was like, maybe I'll start up season two. And it's like, I'm like, I love entertaining stuff in the theater. So, and honestly, I didn't mind the show. It was the fact that like they sped through the books.
They did.
That's what the issue was.
They really kind of
in the first season.
They covered a lot of stuff pretty quickly. That could have been elaborated on more with the books. You know, like it was in the books. But yeah, like I said, I enjoyed it, and I thought it was a really good experience for the theater.
All right. Let's see. Let's go to my, there we go. I'll just talk quickly about Elvis on Kaleidoscape, and the Atmos track is amazing. Once I, cleared up the issues with loudness management and turned the dynamic compression off that was on auto. I went back to those scenes and so spoiler free, there is a scene where Elvis is on stage and he looks at the crowd and the crowd's going crazy. And he's like, you know, he's like, looking for trouble. And then just the band is like, but you could feel it. You could feel the crowd and the high frequencies were amazing. But the lows, it was really, really nice. Early on in the movie, there's like his debut and the surround sound around your room. That was even amped up. That sounded great before, because I was getting that. What I wasn't getting was a little bit more volume and the bass. And now this isn't bass like Lucy type bass that's going to vibrate your room, but it is that exactly what I was saying last week. Like you're watching this movie. I'm bleeding for God's sakes. You're watching this movie and you want to feel it because you're so excited for it. And now I want to go back through and watch the whole movie. I didn't have the opportunity to do that. I just went back and few of my favorite scenes. And yeah, I think watching it again, this is going to be awesome. It's going to be an awesome disc. Really excited for it. So really excited for everybody to get that. And, so relieved, to be honest with you. Once I figured out that little
once
bit
you figured
of a
it out.
Flaw.
Yeah, you were hoping it wasn't a Thor Ragnarok thing, right?
Yeah. I really was, because I was so disappointed because I loved the movie so much. And it was really, really good. Really good. So, all right. Awesome. We'll move on from that. And then what else do you got here? You have...
So I've got 13 Lives.
Yep.
Which it was a movie on Amazon Prime. So no Dolby Atmos. It was in UHD, but it was just 5.1.
It's a fun comedic romp, you said.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to watch it?
No. Okay. Not on that write-up that you texted me. Yeah, let me get
see,
it.
I
had a rough week last week.
I hesitated to type that because I knew that it would turn you away from watching it.
Yeah,
but it shouldn't. It should.
No. I know it sounds interesting.
But I did definitely say bring your Kleenex because it wrenches at the heartstrings.
Yeah, you said you dared me and Jen to get through it without using Kleenex or whatever, and I was like, okay.
But it's a movie that
John, I can't get through an episode
enjoy.
Of this show without that.
I know without Kleenex. It's just one of those really human stories, you know, that has a lot of, you know, a lot of emotion.
That's on Amazon Prime, right?
It's on Amazon Prime. But as far as the theater experience goes, a lot of this movie, it revolves around storms and flooding. So there's some really good rain and thunderstorm effects that take place. And again, I, you know, I am not mixing this with Neural X, so I'm getting that. But, you know, anytime you get the thunder rumbling, there's some really good bass, really good rain sounds. But then a lot of this takes place underwater because it involves divers and like the rescue divers. So there's some really, really good underwater effects too. You know, just the bubble, you know, just whatever the noise is when you're underwater. But like, again, it fills up, it's very immersive.
Right.
You know, it fills up the whole room. You kind of feel like you're underwater as well. And those parts of it were really good. So I recommend it for that part of it. But also, again, it's just a really, really good kind of inspirational movie. I mean, I don't know if inspirational is the right word, but it's, I don't want to spoil it if you don't know. So I don't want to say too much.
True story.
It's definitely, it is a true story, and it's very, I guess, inspiring. Well, that's inspirational. I don't know. It's just a good human story. Let's put it that way. So,
all right.
Worth watching.
I will report back.
Yeah.
Bring my Kleenex.
Let me know. Yes, bring your Kleenex.
All right. I watched, purchased, and watched Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Yeah, I need a lot of notes here.
It was amazing.
Yeah, I've heard it was.
It's as a home theater experience. It was amazing. It is, I can't say movie of the year candidate, but it is up because to me, it's a great kids movie. So this is a great home theater experience for people with kids. And you're like, you can take your kid in and just there. The kids are going to be amazed at the sounds and the sights. You're going to be entertained by the sounds and the sights. I felt like the acting was a little overacting. It was almost like, have you ever been at a party or something and you're talking to somebody and they go, what do you do? You find out afterwards they're a kindergarten teacher and you're like, that explains it. Because they're like, hello, how are you doing? And be like, that was good up until that. So that's what this movie was like. Everything was over enunciated. Everything was like Jim Carrey'd. Because he's in the
movie. Because, but it's a movie for kids. 6-year-olds.
Right.
Yeah.
It is, but I found myself, like, they open the movie with, you know, some old footage of Sonic, and they close it like that. So I played Sonic back in the 80s, 90s.
Right.
Late 80s, early 90s. But I never saw one, but the hype on this, especially from Mike Love and Thunder, he was, like, blown away by it. So I was like, all right. The listener speak, I'm going to listen, right?
I've spent worse money.
Yeah, exactly. And I had a blast with it. The HDR is fantastic. I mean, it's just super bright, super vibrant, deep blacks, because everything else, if it's not, you know, if it's a dark shaded area, you've got all this light coming in your eyes. So the contrast is fantastic. It just looks awesome. Awesome. Very discreet use of the room too. A lot of stuff going on all around your rooms. As you can imagine, video game noises, action scenes, all of that stuff. Really, really good. I've got a few popcorn boxes I could give out at 4740. Sonic and Tails is in this one. That's not really a spoiler. They have a dance off. I gave it 2 boxes of popcorn, and the overheads are awesome. And when you get there, you'll hear it. And it is absolutely amazing. You just, like I said, when you get there, you'll know it. At 5820, there is an avalanche and a chase sequence that follows, but the bass, this movie crushes it with the bass. Okay.
Yeah.
It is so crystal clear. It is so deep, and the use of it throughout the movie is like part of the movie. I'll put this up there with Lucy in kind of a different way, where Lucy was like that, like a vibrating type thing. This was more of a, like, lot of feel, lot of visceral bass throughout this movie. Just hitting you in the chest or vibrating you in the seat. Or pulling you into a moment because you felt something, like they knew something was coming. Really, really cool. At 1 hour, 15 minutes, 40 seconds, 2 boxes of popcorn. I called it water, but the bass here, and again, when you get there, you'll know it. It's like, it's amazing. The deep bass, Sonic's running across the water, and you can, there's like this, what's cool about it is the different types of bass that you're getting and you're feeling. So there's like it's ocean. So you're getting the whoosh of the waves and the big, heavy, heavy water, right? But right. Then pay attention to the pitter patter of his feet hitting the water at the, like that. But you could feel each footstep go as he goes across the water. It was awesome. There's pans too, because they're coming in and there's like, boom, and he runs by and he goes, it's awesome. Awesome scene. But the show stealer is 1 hour, 39 minutes, 52 seconds, stamped by Mike Love and Thunder himself. Awesome overheads, 3 boxes of popcorn. Absolutely amazing, because it's a character's voice that just goes like, all the different, like, you're going to want to get up and listen to your overhead, like put your ear to your overheads, because it's what you always want, what you're always looking for out of your overheads. Right. And because of that, it's like this, I mean, it's like I said, there's overacting. It's a kid's story. It's one of those supposed to be, it's like an inspirational thing. There's a moral to this story by the end, and you can see it all coming from moment one. It's like, but as a home theater experience, how you don't have this in your system is just like, there's demo material all the way through it. And it's like, again, if I had known, I hadn't watched this yet when I had my buddies over, but I literally would have thrown it on for the hockey team, especially that, like, that overhead scene, and you would have had all these like hockey players sitting in a room going, oh my watching God, Sonic, yeah. It's the Wanik Sonic 2. So absolutely amazing. Thank you everybody, Mike, for stamping out that scene, but everybody that's brought awareness to this movie, it's awesome. Absolutely awesome. Yeah. So thanks to everybody. So
I've heard great things about it. So yeah, it'll be one of my purchases eventually.
and we have two more, one that you have, one more, and then one that we both watched. So,
let's
do your second to last one there.
All right. Yeah. So next up, 5 Days at Memorial. This dropped on Apple TV. So it's got the usual Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos. This is a new series. So they dropped the first 3 episodes and then it's going weekly. This is based, around Hurricane Katrina. And this Memorial Hospital in New Orleans. So this is it's a fictionalized story to some degree, but I mean, it's based on true events. And again, I can't extol the virtues of Apple TV enough. I mean, this was awesome. But what stands out here again, you know, it's Hurricane Katrina. So it's kind of like Hurricane Heist, you know, all the great stuff that's happening there, with the wind swirling and the thunder and the rain and just the water is incredible. Like, it's really, really great use of all your channels.
Right.
And then again, very gripping story, you know, because again, it's based on very true events and the devastation that occurred in Louisiana with Hurricane Katrina. And some of the things that I didn't know, like, I'm very, you know, obviously I'm in Houston, so I'm not far away. And we felt some of the, you know, we got some of the rain and we got some of the effects. But even I didn't know some of this stuff, the way it played out as it happened in New Orleans. So it's pretty interesting to see what's going on here. But I can't recommend it enough. And, you know, if you have Apple TV, you should check this out.
Cool. Yeah, it sounds, like I said, seeing your notes, it sounds awesome. And that's pretty cool that it's a series, too.
Yeah.
How many episodes is it going to be?
I think it's probably eight or nine, yeah.
But yeah, Apple is
killing it. And it's a limited series, I imagine. It'll just be the one season. Yeah, because again, I didn't even put it on my notes, but the season finale of For All Mankind was this past week.
Oh, wow.
Again, just so impressed. Like, it's just so good. Again, don't want to give anything away there, but
C drops in a couple weeks. Can't wait for that.
C, yep.
C.
Yeah, and that's always a great one because, again, they put so much into the sound on that particular show, especially because of the way, you know, the subject of it. But, yeah, can't wait for that.
Cool. All right. Last one. Your favorite.
Yeah. I'm going to say my thing, and then I'm going to let you talk about it.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, so
you're the one that got me into it. I was like, oh, all right, I'll try it out.
Day Shift on Netflix dropped this past week also. Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos. This was Jamie Foxx. It's a vampire, you know, hunting vampire movie. My notes are average, but nothing special. Like, it had Atmos, you know, it was there, but this didn't really do a lot for me. I mean, the movie's okay. It wasn't even great. But nothing stood out to me here, like, as far as the Atmos and all that. And then I see all the notes that you have, and I was like, we had very different experiences watching this movie. Well, but I just didn't think it was anything special, honestly. It kind of was the Gray Man over again.
I thought Atmos was better. I thought the Atmos on this was more dynamic, good volume level, right? You didn't feel like the bass was better, the more high, detailed highs?
I don't know. Nothing stood out to me as I was watching it. Maybe I was just in a mood. I don't know. Like, it just didn't make any impression on me at all.
Yeah, like, you saw. I wish Gray Man had this level, right? Yeah, it's like, I felt like watching this movie, I was like, and I love both movies. Like, I love both, you know, people in the movies. I have a blast watching. But, you know, Chris Evans as a bad guy was phenomenal.
Yeah,
right?
Gray Man, I thought, Gosling, was a great movie.
It's a great movie, right? I think Gray Man's actually a better movie than Day Shift. But I love Jamie Foxx. I could watch him read the phone book because I think he'd be like, John Smith, 555-67. And then he'd say something sarcastic, right? Before he went on to the... I love his sarcasm. I love the way... And... The other thing I love about Jamie Foxx is he'll do anything, like any movie, right? He'll do a kids movie. He'll do action movies. He'll do comedies. He'll do dramas. And he's awesome in all of them. And for him to do this, I just thought he was so much fun in this. And him and, you know, and Dave Franco there, it was, you know, it was kind of like a take on Lethal Weapon.
It's a buddy cop movie type in a way. Yeah.
You kind of see the stuff coming, but I thought it was fun. It was entertaining. But as far as like, I agree with you. I agree with your assessment. It's like average, nothing special, but I still had fun with it sitting there.
It was a decent movie.
And
but
I thought the home theater part of it, I thought was better than the Gray Man. So maybe that's why I moved it. I felt like the Atmos was a little bit better, so it kind of moved up a little bit for me. One thing I liked on this, and it's like, you see, I put it in bold on my notes. I'm like, subtitles in the screen. It's like a lot of times if people are using masking, they'll still run their subtitles down below into the black bars.
You can't really see it.
Which you can't see. But in this one, they had them, and the way they floated them in there too, because they were
which
like
was
in bold.
Pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was kind of comic booky, you know, because they were showing up in different parts of the screen.
But they also did the same thing with text. They had the text bubbles show up on the screen, and the 4K, the HDR, which is Dolby Vision, if you have that, I thought looked really, really nice. Like I said, the contrast. And again, it made those subtitles jump out at you. The opening scene, did you hear the maracas? Off to the side of the room. You can hear them, like, so whatever music they have going in the opening scene, you can hear the maracas shaking off to each side of you. And I was like, this is crazy. But it was like so discreet. It was so cool.
Right.
At 57 minutes and 30 seconds, the piano keys, the bing, 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 they were in the overhead channels. It was awesome. Right. If it had gone on longer, I probably would have given it a couple of boxes of popcorn. It was kind of short, but it was just like the notes, the piano keys going off it over your head. Not as good as the Sonic scene because that's, you know, voices and stuff, but it was very discreet, very over your head, and you could hear bing, bing, bing going back and forth. That was really cool. 58 minutes. It's a hive. I gave it a box of popcorn.
Yeah, it was fun.
That was a blast. And the music was a lot of fun, too. The music throughout this was really fun. We had Snoop Dogg. We had a lot of that style of music, and it just, it meshed so well with the movie. And the scenes, like, it almost felt like it was, like, part of the movie. Like, it was telling part of the story.
Right.
But the sound effects in that scene, the bat, they had a few fight scenes that were really good. But I put, like, the picture details almost too good because it was, like, it was gruesome. There was a lot, like...
Oh, it was, yeah. There was a lot of a lot of blood.
It was fun. It's over the top, but it was a lot of fun. And, at 1 hour, pretty much even 1 hour, 30 seconds, there's a chase scene that had some real nice pans of, you know, cars and stuff. And some really, really nice bass on the engine revs as cars were going down the road and you hear that and you could feel that in your, and again, the music and score was really cool. And there was a really cool, I don't want to give it away, but a really cool Snoop scene where some really nice bass there, but his, and I don't know. I don't want to give it away, but it's, I had a lot of fun with it. And if you already have Netflix, it doesn't cost you anything. So I recommend checking it out. It's pretty good. Pretty good home theater experience.
It's a good escape. I mean, it's good for, you know, it's a good 2 hours.
Yeah.
But like I said, I don't know. I felt it more average.
Well, and I also stand by my comment to you, my text to you, where I'm like, well, it's no Blade 3.
Right.
And it's like, but that's where I put it. Like, I liked Blade 3, but that's not as good as Blade 1. And that's kind of the comedy of it. And this is what this is. It's kind of a vampire hunting comedy, right? And that's what kind of Blade 3 was. But this isn't as good as Blade 3, but I still had a lot of fun with it. So. Is that it? That all you got?
I think so. Yeah, that's all I've got.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't put any notes with that movie, so that was my only note.
Average.
Average, nothing special.
Yeah. So. And look at you. Know, look at me. I can go on about average.
Yeah.
My wheelhouse. Especially when you're sitting with the Darians. That's me. I'm trying to achieve average.
Yeah, right.
Sitting with a.
I'm aspiring to average.
Average. Sitting with a bunch of above average people. All right, let's power down that projector there, and we'll get on to the main topic this week. Ooh. What'd you think of this?
I liked the movie a lot. Now, you kind of called it last week when you said, you're just going to say I watched it 2 weeks ago, so I don't remember most of it, and that's kind of right on, because I did watch it two weeks ago. And so it's hard to remember, but as you can see, I've watched a lot since then. But I liked the movie a lot. I have a kind of little bit of a funny story to tell with this one, though.
Okay, go ahead.
That I had all these notes in here that I ended up going back and deleting because I watched this movie. Before I watched this movie, I was watching the Liverpool soccer match. And I did something that I don't ever do. As I was watching the game, I was like, oh, well, let me throw this into sports mode real quick and see if it makes any difference while I'm watching the game.
Yeah.
You know, because I turn off all the motion. Like, I turn everything off, obviously, when I'm watching TV, and the sports mode has all that stuff enabled. And since I don't use, and I'm sure you'll see exactly where I'm going with this, because since I don't normally do that to watch the game, I didn't remember to turn it off and switch it back into, like, normal TV watching mode. So then I start watching 12 Strong, and I'm putting all these notes on my list. It's like, this looks like a soap opera. You know, it's like, it looks like it's shot in a, like, it looks really like a reality show. And I have all these notes going on because the picture was just off, you know, and it was like I was watching an old TV show or an old reality show.
Yep.
And then halfway through the movie, it clicked, and I was like, oh, I'm in sports mode still. And I went and I switched it back over, and then, of course, everything got the way it should be.
Yeah.
So I had to delete all these notes that I was writing down, but I had all these scenes
all
and
these
notes.
Criticisms.
Yeah. And it wasn't even a criticism, because I actually thought it was kind of cool, because it was like, I thought it was a decision they made to try to shoot it more like a reality show or something. And I thought it was a choice they made. And I was like, well, this is really interesting. And I was putting all these comments, and then it turned out that they weren't doing that at all. It was just something I did. So I thought that was kind of funny.
That's fucking funny. That's I love how you're like, I'm rubbing off on you, John. You're bright siding the crap out of it. You're like, oh, I don't know, but maybe this is a choice they made because it's a true story and this and that.
Because I had seen it before and I was like, I don't remember this from the first time I watched it, but that was 4 years ago. So maybe I just forgot, you know.
That's great. So my funny story, which isn't funny at all, is I didn't even hear of this. I didn't know this existed.
Yeah, you had never seen it.
I'd never seen it. And I'm like, I love the story. And the reason we're watching this, I wanted to do it last week, is because of my dad. And my dad recommended it to me. And my dad never recommends anything because my dad doesn't watch a lot.
Right.
Little peek behind the curtain. My dad had, what was it, 2 weeks ago, John? Open heart surgery?
Yeah.
Two weeks ago. And this was what he recommended to me when he's on his way in. You're like, bye, Dad. Right. Good luck, everything, right? And he's like,
go watch this movie.
Yeah, he's like, have you seen? And he's trying to stay positive. And it's like, you know, my last conversation could have been with him. Like, hey, you know, let's you check out 12 Strong. Jeez, what are you going to do there, right? So I was like, and that's why I said to you, I'm like, hey, can we do this next week? And it would have been that week. And then when I saw it and I was like, oh my God, I can't wedge this in along with Prey, which we did last week. I'm like, this deserves its own show. And then it turns out. So now my dad comes home from the hospital. He's doing well. Of course, open heart surgery, he's all laid up. Right. So I'm visiting with him. I'm like, oh, have you seen this? Have you seen that? Have you seen Prey? Have you seen this? Have you seen this?
Right.
I'm going to the Gray Man. Oh, I loved it. I'm like, what the hell? Do you want a show? What the hell, Dad? You never watched anything. Now he's like, I'm like, I got to call him every day now, get recommendations on what to
see
watch.
See what he's watching.
Yeah. I was like, what the? He'd seen them all. There. I was just there the other day again.
That's awesome.
A day ago.
I'm of course, he's laid up. So what else is he doing?
Well, yeah, but he saw a lot. Scarily, I think he tried to take it all in.
I'm going out, I'm gonna watch all these shows,
right?
That's right.
But you're like, oh wow, okay. But yeah, he'd seen it all, and I was like, all right, because I'm like, hey Dad, I got this little home theater podcast, I've seen a lot of stuff, I got some recommendations while you're stuck on the couch. Yeah, I couldn't stump him.
It's like he's seen them all.
That's so awesome. So, yeah, so he told me about it, and he was like, yeah, it's really good. So I'm like, all right, let's check that out. And I mentioned it to you, and you were like, yeah, I've seen that. So we decided to do it. And really interesting, Netflix decided to drop this in 16:9.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah.
That's definitely in my notes. And yeah. I didn't notice it right away. Because, you know, you just start watching in movies. And since I was coming from the soccer game, which, you know, was in 16:9 anyway, so it didn't really click right away. But about the time when I switched it over, when I realized I was in sports mode, I switched it over to, you know, movie mode. And then it dawned on me that this is also in 16:9. Like, it's not you know, there's no black bars or anything. I was like, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
But I was like, sports mode doesn't have anything to do with that.
No.
You know? So I was like, that's a choice. And
it's a zoom.
Yeah, too. It's not in zoom. 4K.
Nope.
Yeah, it's not in 4K. It's the quality on Netflix isn't fantastic. I was able to pick out some sound scenes because of the upmixing. But yeah, my experience was very different than yours when it comes to this movie.
Yeah, we'll get to the sound in a second. But yeah, the So I watched it on Kaleidoscape, and I went back through my scenes on Netflix to see the difference. And there, it's a distinct difference, especially picture quality wise. On the Blu-ray is also 240 to 1, and that's right. What's on the Kaleidoscape. But Netflix is literally, it's the full, it's the 16:9, 185. It takes up the whole screen, and it's a zoom and a pan. Right. And, I have the, so here, if you're on YouTube, here's the image that I took, and it's, you know, it's a scene from the movie. But then when you look at it, that's the Netflix version that you're looking at right now on YouTube. And you know what I'm talking about there. And then when you see the 240 to one, how much you're missing, it's amazing. And there's even like a bloom to it, that blue bloom that goes across that is completely gone when you just see the edge of it in the corner. But the whole scene, the other part of that is, just on this one image that I took here, which I really like, kind of stood out to me. But as I was watching it all the way, the whole thing stands out because you feel like even the resolution feels like they zoomed, zoomed in. So now you're getting bigger. You're losing pixels. It felt bad. Felt way off. But the scene when you go to the 240 to one, it's a darker scene. And it's like this, especially this one image, because that one sunlight in the background that I'm showing, like I said, that I'm showing on YouTube, it doesn't take up the whole picture. So it doesn't glow in your face like it did on the Netflix version. So it's, that was weird. But definitely.
And again, it's a choice I don't understand because Netflix doesn't usually do that.
No.
With their movies. Now, again, this dropped on Netflix 4 years ago. But even then, I don't think they were doing, like, they weren't making a habit out of changing the aspect ratios of movies. No. So I don't know why that happened. But
I would recommend grabbing it. Really weird. On Kaleidoscape, Kaleidoscape actually had it in 4K HDR.
Right.
So that was really nice. But I have to imagine the 4K, the Blu-ray is going to look a lot better than the Netflix blown in version. And
I'm sure
I didn't get to see that, but they all had, actually Netflix just had the 5.1, you know, PCM, but the discs and Kaleidoscape had the DTS Master Audio 5.1. So, the sound on this was absolutely amazing. And the Netflix, it was so subdued. It was still really good. Like if you weren't going back and forth, you'd be like, this is a, you know, it's a great movie. It's got some really engaging scenes. I have a bunch to go through. But it had really nice bass, even on Netflix. But then when you go to the, you know, whether it be the disc or the Kaleidoscape, you're going to notice like
it's
the full range of sound that you're getting, especially with these gunshots and these explosions and stuff. Big difference. A lot of great helicopter pans throughout the movie.
And there's so many gun battles. Obviously, there's gun battles galore, so there's tons of...
So let's go through some of those scenes. The opening, 4 minutes into the movie... you have some soldiers in a swampy area and some jets fly by. Spoiler free. We won't tell you why they're flying by, but you get it pretty quick into the movie. You're getting this.
Right.
But these jets, they're flying low. The characters even say that. They're like, wow, they're kind of low. But it was like you could feel it. I felt it in my chest, but then as they panned away, you felt it in your seat. It was a really, really nice bass pan that, I mean, they go from left to right across your screen, and it was just so deep. But then the fade, I thought, was really, really cool. Like, just like if you were there and you get that, you could feel it, but then it just, they fade off to the right like that. It was really, really cool. 1430. Did you hear this one? So Chris Hemsworth is talking, and there was another character off to the left. While a helicopter's flying over, that's what you're going to hear because they're on a base here and you hear just helicopters going and it was really cool. But if you pay attention, that you can hear somebody, like, I think he was cleaning a gun or something, and you hear him, like, it wasn't racking a gun, like, but it was like just the metal of cleaning a gun or whatever, and you could hear it off to the left side rear of your room. It was really, really cool. And then right after that, when I was reviewing the scene back and forth, you could hear like, I mean, then two Blackhawks fly over your head and you're just like, whoa, 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 whoa. And it, like your whole room just goes nuts. It was just a lot of fun on that scene right there at 14:30, because you're just like, you're like, especially if you go there when I'm, you know, because I'm telling you to go there, you're going to get, you'll be like listening for this. And then all of a sudden your room just explodes with these Blackhawks flying by. It was really, really cool. I don't know if I said it, but that 4 minutes I gave two boxes of popcorn, that flyby. But yeah. So John, this next one's you. And I like this one.
22:35. This is just a really quick scene, but they're writing letters, and Chris Hemsworth is not happy with his letter, so he crumples it up and he kind of flicks it off to the right. And yeah, you just hear it, just like pans across your room and you hear it hit the ground off to the right. And it was really cool. Kind of subtle, but
Very subtle.
And again, some of this stuff, it didn't translate as well on the Netflix version as what you were getting, but that one really stood out.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it was even better. Like when you listen to it
relatively
on yours, it was probably
Scenes like that are,
I guess, because it wasn't so loud. Yeah. It's subtle, so it's going to be subtle either way.
Yeah.
But, it was very distinct, and you could hear it hit the ground.
Exactly. Yeah, it was really cool. I saw that. I remember that. As soon as I saw your note, I was like, yeah, I know that scene. I don't know why. And I looked. I'm like, I didn't write that down. That seems like something I'd write down. But that was very discreet. I love subtle little things like that, because it does. It just, you could hear it like bounce off to the right. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
24 minutes, 40 seconds takeoff. Like we said, lots of helicopters here in this movie. And they're taking off. And this two kinds of helicopters in this scene. There's the dual rotor Chinooks and a Blackhawk, and or maybe a couple of Blackhawks, I forget, but it's also a night, and the HDR was absolutely amazing. And knowing, I mean, the Blu-ray, I have to imagine, looks amazing too, because the way this was, and that's what makes that whole Netflix zooming in thing, the way this movie was shot, there's so much to the movie. And the cinematography and the way they utilized the space that they had on the screen and how it looked. And we're going to get to a couple other scenes that really, like when I'm talking about HDR, I'm saying like how great it looked, but it's also on how it was shot. And this is one of those scenes, and the score too, but the bass from these helicopters taking off and the, just the thumping that you could feel. It was so visceral, so much fun. Very, very good scene. Two boxes of popcorn for this scene, 25 minutes, 40 seconds. And it's kind of the same scenes. The helicopters have taken off and they're going through and they run into some lightning in the sky. And how did that look for you? On the, I've seen it on Netflix, but what did you think of it? Do you remember it?
I didn't
know it. When the helicopters said we're going to turn back?
Yeah, well, I remember the scene. I didn't note anything in my notes, so it probably didn't hit me. Too hard. It didn't strike me too much, because I didn't make note of it. It probably was way less than than what you got.
I think you kind of lose it on the Netflix because of the way it was zoomed onto the screen. When you go to the wider pan, and it really just jumped out at you. I just feel like I feel like the Netflix, this is where Netflix kind of really dropped the ball on this movie, and it's too bad, because when you zoom in like that, and I didn't feel like you got an up in contrast. I felt like it was just, so things like this, where you get that lightning and it's supposed to be a fairly dark scene of these helicopters flying through a clouded sky at night, and then some lightning goes off and you see the light hit the clouds as well as the bolts of lightning. It just really jumped out. But then on Netflix, it was kind of like, oh, okay, that was there. But then the helicopters see it, and then two of them turn back and go the other way, and then they pan off to the right rear, which was, that was a really cool sound. So, but I gave that two boxes of popcorn because it looked amazing and it sounded amazing too with that bass. So, John, you got this next one, 2609.
Yeah, 26. And again, I apologize, because like I said, now I don't remember the scenes as much as just what I wrote down in the notes. but at 2609, it was just a really the wind moving through the overhead speakers.
Yeah.
I'm assuming based on your notes, the timestamp, they were still in the air.
Yep.
In the, you know, in the chopper. So it was just that wind whipping around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It, you know, it was raining, kind of stormy, and there was a lot of good overhead action there.
Right. Yep. Same idea. And in another subtle thing, the way the overheads, and when we're up, we were both up mixing this with Neuralax. So you're getting that, it's really moving that sound up. And it did. It sounded really, really cool. A lot of, like I said earlier, a lot of ambient engagement all the way through this movie. Lots of ambient sounds to take in. This next one, Fire Crackles, 3720, John.
Yeah, and again, I don't remember the context of the scene, but you know, because again, it was a couple weeks ago, but it was just the same thing. It was just the surround sound, the engagement of the surround sound,
right?
With the fire. I think this was the scene where they were meeting with, they were in the cave and they were meeting with the general.
Look at you go.
And it's kind of coming back to me a little bit. And just the crackles off in your sides while they're having their conversation, kind of in your main stage, and you could hear the fire crackling around, and there was some pretty good use of the surround speakers there.
Yeah. Yeah, because they were talking and it was actually moving around the room. Wherever the fire was in relation to what you were talking, you could hear that moving around. That was really, really cool. And now we're just getting into the battles. First battles at 54 minutes. The ringing in this first battle, I didn't really hear this in the rest of the movie, but I felt like in this one here, when the bombs were released, you could hear the ringing, and it was really, really cool. When they were first released out of the plane.
Right.
But then when they hit, and it's so, I mean, the basis of the movie is they have to target and then they call in the strike. That's the whole basis of the movie. That's what they're doing.
Right.
And so that's what this, but you get in battles because you have to be on the ground and see and give coordinates. So they're getting into those battles, but at the same time, they're dropping bombs from above. So you're getting the sounds of those. You're getting the bullet. They're being shot at. So things are ricocheting around the room. The picture, the HDR, the smoke, it's so dark at the explosion, but you have the bright light of the explosion itself around it, but then the dark smoke and the grays and everything on each individual explosion looked absolutely amazing. But then the base on those, on each impact of the bombs was is so deep, and it like shaking your room. It's an amazing soundtrack all the way through this thing. And every time they go into battle, you're like, oh no, it's like,
I know. Cause I think I just wrote battle 1, battle 2, battle 3 with all the timestamps because they were kind of the same in a lot of respects.
Yeah. They had a few,
they had subtle differences.
Yeah. Yeah. So like in the second battle, much of the same. Visceral explosions, bullets hitting metal in this one because there was some machinery that they were firing at. So you heard that. But this one here, you also heard the horses, their hooves thumping too, because now they're bringing those in even more into the battle. And it's just, I mean, you throw that in with the distinct gunfire, which I can't stress enough how distinct the gunfire was throughout this movie. Each and every shot, and there were multiple, like, what would you say, 30, 70 characters firing all at once, and it felt like you could hear them all around your room.
Yeah, well, because it's a war, it's a battle, so there's people everywhere. You know?
People everywhere, and people being shot, people just explosions going off from one coming from above, from the rocket launchers. There was a scene where somebody, like the rocket launchers to the left side of the screen, and that you heard when it first launched was so high pitched on the left side of your screen, but then you hear the rocket take off, then the camera goes to where the rocket's headed, and now you hear it coming in. It was absolutely just incredible sound mix, and that's like, what do we got? Like maybe 6 more scenes to get through. And I'm like, I'm running out of breath here. And this is a movie I hadn't heard of. I'm like, what happened?
Right.
I'm like, So, all right, third battle, same, another insane audio treat. Absolutely amazing. But double, triple everything we just said. And then it ends in an absolutely amazing, like this one explosion to end all explosions. And then the way that explosion just rolls off into the distance. And every single one of these battles, I gave two boxes of popcorn. They're just absolutely amazing. And for different reasons, yes, they have similarities, but they're each individual unto themselves and so, so good. This next one I have is about the picture. And I will say, I checked this out on Netflix and it still looks pretty good because of what it was. So it's 1 hour, 23 minutes, 55 seconds. It's kind of like a filler type shot. They're just the camera's going through the sky and you're looking down, but you see the cloud, you see clouds, and then through the clouds, the breaks in the clouds, you could see the ground moving underneath it, the mountains.
Right.
And the movement of how, you know, how like at that perception, like the clouds aren't moving as fast as the ground, it gives you a really nice 3D feel. And even on Netflix, it looked really nice. I was very happy to see that. I gave it a box of popcorn, but on the Kaleidoscape, it just was like that much more 3D. It just looked like you could reach right in through those clouds. It was really amazing. Really, really cool. 1 hour, 30 minutes. There's a sniper shot, single shot. They call it in and they're like, okay, you got him. Yep. They call in the coordinates and the sniper takes the shot. And when that shot goes off, you could feel it. It was like you were sitting next to him, watching him take the shot. And then hearing that shot ring out in the mountains, that, like I said, it was like you're sitting next to him. Really, really, really distinct in the chest. Really quick scene. 1 hour, 32 minutes, even, one box of popcorn, target tanks in the open, I called it. So the military vehicles got to get bombs dropped on them. And it's the whole room shook. It was just insane. It's like so discreet. Everything is like, you see them come down. I remember going back and reviewing this and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember. Here we go. Cause now you're seeing the bombs drop and you just wait a second. And it boom, ba boom, boom. And so discreet and so loud though. Like I said, the whole room shook. Let's see, sudden firefight at 1 hour, 34 minutes. It just, this was one that kind of like a jump scene, like you weren't expecting it. And it's just very loud, very visceral. Really, really cool. Box of popcorn for this next one. This is more rockets, but this wasn't a rocket launcher. This was like the vehicle that had like, would it have like 30 rockets in it? And it took time to load it. And you hear them zoom past and then they hit the mountain behind the enemy. And then the rocks come down from the mountain. And it's just, the entire thing is the high pitch of rockets zooming, the booms of it launch. It just a really, really cool scene and a lot of good pans there because the camera's constantly moving. Really, really cool. 1 hour, 44 minutes, 20 seconds, pretty much the culmination of the movie. Three boxes of popcorn. This is pretty much the last battle scene, and it's the horses are going into battle. Rockets are going another battle. The base is amazing. It just, again, very similar to Sonic. The horse's hooves are going, the rockets are going, the base is going. That, again, the HDR, the picture, the smoke, the fire, the everything going, tons of rocket pans, things just flying everywhere, bullets, and people hearing things, then not hearing things, sound going in and out. It's just the entire thing. And by the end, you want to get up and run. It's an amazing, amazing scene.
Yeah.
And then final scene I have is 1 hour, 52 minutes, 20 seconds, two boxes of popcorn. It's a medevac. So they call in a medevac. And what was really cool about this to me is, so the camera's on top, like from the sky looking down at it's another Chinook coming in to get people out, and you can hear the rotors, but you're above it and you just hear it, and it sounds great. It sounds amazing. And it's a great shot of the ground, of the helicopter coming through, of the Chinook coming through and everything. And you think that's all it. Then the camera goes to ground level where the soldiers are, like literally laying on the ground. And then everything starts blowing away, like, because now the helicopters, the Chinook's coming in, and you feel it. You feel like that wind is coming down on you. Your room, you could feel it in your chest. You could feel it in the room, in your seat. And it's like your room's vibrating because this thing's coming in. And just that difference, that contrast to what you were hearing above it, where I guess you wouldn't feel that ground pressure, right? Because the wind's pushing down. It was just really, really cool. Really cool. So that's why I gave it 2 boxes of popcorn. But just absolutely amazing, amazing movie.
It was great. Yeah, it was a great experience. And like I said, mine was not nearly as good as yours. And I still enjoyed it quite a bit.
I got to imagine the disc is pretty much the same.
Yeah, even the Blu-rays probably... miles above what I got from Netflix on this particular one. And you know, it's funny because we've been talking about how great Netflix is through the whole show, and this is one where, I mean, it wasn't the worst experience, but they made some weird choices with this movie and definitely diminished the experience a little bit.
It's listing right now on Amazon at $12.61 for the Blu-ray would have the same audio track that I just listened to. It has the same aspect ratio of the 240:1. It's in 1080p, but on our systems, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, it still looks great.
It's a great movie. It was spoiler free. Really, I mean, it's just such a good movie. It's a true story based on a true story. There's a huge, it's very rewatchable. Once it you've is. Got it, through the whole yeah. thing, isn't it a lot easier to watch a second time?
Well, and the thing is, like I mentioned, I had seen it before, but it was 4 years ago. So as I was watching it, like, it was familiar, but I didn't remember everything that was going to happen because I didn't rewatch it again. So it was kind of like watching it new again. But I was like, because I'm thinking about, you know, I just finished saying how I don't want to buy discs and things like that, but I might pick up the Blu-ray and watch it again. And I wouldn't have any problem watching it again because the movie and the story itself were worth
so
it.
So good.
You know? Yeah. If it was a movie that I didn't care about as much, I would, you know, I wouldn't take the time to rewatch it even if it was better, you know, but this one was a good movie.
Yeah.
Underrated, like you said, because so many people haven't seen it or heard of it. So...
And my dad recommends it. So,
yeah. Hey, seal of approval.
Seal of approval right there. Yeah. One line in the movie I thought was really cool. Did you see my quote at the top of my notes?
I did.
Isn't that funny?
I just deleted it. So.
You just deleted it. Yeah.
Well, I just deleted the notes because we were done.
Right.
So if you want the quote, you'll have to read it.
What's his name? What's Zod's name in real life?
Michael Shannon.
Michael Shannon to Chris Hemsworth. He said, this is about being smart, not superhuman.
Right.
Which I thought was great in this movie because they'd both already played Zod and Thor.
Yeah, Zod and Thor.
And I'm like, you know that they laughed about that on set.
Right.
You know, that was put in because of that. It had to be. Probably. I don't think that's part of the true story. Similar to when they were singing Green Berets.
Right.
In the takeoff. I don't think they really did that. It's like, maybe they did. I don't know if Green Berlin.
Probably not.
I think my dad said that too. It's like, I don't know if they do that, but okay. But maybe someday if some listeners have seen it and they want us to talk spoilers on it, I can talk spoilers. But my dad and I had a conversation about it too that I thought, like, as this movie went along and it plays into the storyline. And I'm wondering if anybody else noticed it. I don't want to say it here, but there was something that I was like, it doesn't seem normal to me. But then it played into the story, so very interesting. And like I said, I talked to my dad about it, who was in the military. He was in Vietnam, and he was like, nope, yeah, you're right, that's not correct. So, but it did. It played into the story perfectly. So, cool. So if people want us to talk spoilers on that, maybe we'll add that some week in the future. So All right, John. I think that's it for this week.
I think our part is 3 hours.
No,
never mind, Steve.
No, no, it's only 2 and change, 220 something. But we had we lost you for a little bit, so that'll get chopped out. I know, John. Look at you going.
I know.
Oh man! All right. Thank you to everybody for watching. Thank you to everybody for listening. If you're watching, please on YouTube, hit subscribe. We're just trying to get, we're trying to generate as much money as possible so that we can donate. The more we get, the more we donate. And let's now obviously we're having a great time here. We're always having a great time in our theaters, but let's turn this around and see if we can, actually make it even more meaningful than just having a good time. So, buck a month on Patreon. That's all it would be that you want to help out that way. You can do that. Or if you can't do that, just promote us in some way and tell people what we're doing. And maybe they'll
be interested.
Obviously I'm not good at promoting. So if you guys could do that, every little bit helps, whether you're promoting the podcast or you're actually donating to the podcast, we really appreciate it. But again, if you want to, go to patreon.com/brightsidehometheater, buck as little as $1 a month. I really appreciate that. Follow us along on Twitter at @brightsidehd. You can email us at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. And links to this and all the other shows are at brightsidehometheater.com. And that's what, and you can also talk to John, but he doesn't answer, but that's at Arkham Comics and Games with an X.
Yeah. I was going to say earlier when you were talking about how, you know, you missed that email at the beginning of the show. I was like, well, I miss them every week, but that's just my MO. So,
Yep. I know. Yeah, that was a while ago we talked about that. Yeah. So,
seems like yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. I cannot wait for Tuesday. I'll be pushing play on Top Gun Maverick. As I said earlier, I highly recommend grabbing the digital and push and play yourselves. But really looking forward to next week. Dolby Atmos versus DTS:X. I got to get a ding, ding, ding bell or something in here for, you know, let the fight be on. Ding,
yeah, ding, ding. For the fight. Yeah.
Who goes down for the count? I don't know. I have my thoughts on it. There are logistics to it. There are facts to it. But hey. This is the first time I think I've seen where we have basically two physical releases, one in each format, same movie. So,
right.
Really looking forward to that.
I'm interested to see too, or to hear your thoughts on it anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So that'll be the big face-off next week. Also, of course, my initial thoughts on Top Gun Maverick as well. But yeah, thanks for everybody for watching. Thanks for everybody to listen. Rate, review, subscribe, all that jazz. John, what do people got to do?
Go push play.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.